Yeah,
it's Bill Britton.
Mike?
It's Bill Britton.
Bill, hi.
I'm going to chair legislation in your absence.
Yes, please. Okay. Be my guest.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the community services meeting, and we're working together with today in cooperation with government operations and as well as legislation on a number of issues. Everyone has the agenda. We have Mr. Harkham here, Mr. Burton, Mrs. Myers, and Mr. Testa, and we're expecting to have Mr. Ryan and Mr. Rogowski shortly. They've been detained in another meeting. We're going to start with this resolution for the Department of Veterans Affairs. We've been asked, the Committee on Community Services has been asked to review this resolution and pass it. It's a request to the Veterans Administration to keep the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Hospital facility in as it was originally constituted and not make any of the planned changes. Does anyone want to comment on the resolution?
I'd like to comment since I submitted the original one that was slightly altered, which, and looking at it, seems that it has not changed the intent of what the resolution is meant to do, and that is obviously to preserve the VA in Montrose for its purpose that it was originally created, and to not only stop the declining or the reduction of services, but to bring those services back to that facility. And very importantly, as I'm going to have Mr. Nazaro, if that's okay, speak, who's a veteran, very big part of the fight for this VA. There was a big lease proposed, a land use lease for a large condo complex to be built on this land, and that was a very big concern, obviously, which would take away much of the property that was dedicated to the veterans. So I think it was important for us as a county board to make our voice known on this, as other bodies of governments have, and it was a bone of contention in previous years at the county level. And Mr. Burton knows, as it's in his district, the facility itself, and I want to thank him for working with me on this and being a part of this, as well as Legislator Kaplowitz and Maizano and Nona, who also is a veteran.
Yeah. And I'm on the phone.
Oh, you're on the phone. I'm sorry, John. Yeah, so I'm sure it's very important to you, and I know it was to Jim when I spoke to him about it. So that's my introduction, but obviously when we have an opportunity, Madam Chairman, I'd like to have Mr. Nazaro talk.
Why don't we have Mr. Nazaro talk now?
Welcome.
Willie, come
forward. Why don't
you come
and sit over here?
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy he was able to
come today. Yeah, my name is William Nazario. I'm the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Hearts, Chapter 21, which covers Putnam and Westchester County. Over the past 2 years, I've made two trips to Washington, D.C. to speak to some of our federally elected officials regarding the issue at Montrose. The majority of the veterans from Westchester and surrounding areas are really not in total agreement with the Enhanced Use Lease Program. Simply put, over the years, I'd say over a 12-year period, Montrose has been systematically cannibalized as far as services and the use of the surrounding areas, thereby making it a prime project for the Enhanced Use Lease Program, which under the CARES Commission came under, and they said that too much property and not enough usage. The bottom line is it's a 75-year lease, and in 75 years, a lot could happen, for instance, eventually selling of the property. New York State is ranked number four in the nation in total veterans population. When the CARES Commission came into effect, the We were not at war with Iraq or Afghanistan, for that matter. Therefore, the numbers are not reflective of what we're facing today. Montrose is ranked number one in the nation in treating our veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSD is not something that, as soon as a veteran's boots are on U.S. soil, it becomes apparent. It cannot be diagnosed 1, 2, 3. It is something that over the years, a lot of Vietnam vets are now coming down with it. Speaking of which, Vietnam vets right now, as it stands, the last I heard, there's over 150,000 of us that have committed suicide. PTSD will manifest itself in many ways. If we can enhance the services, what we're looking at down the road is savings to the taxpayer and to the county. How? Domestic violence, incarceration, homelessness, and I can go on and on and on. This is why this is very dear to me. Not only is it dear to me in that sense, but I also have a brother who served in Iraq, and we lost track of him. When we finally found him, he's up in Providence, Rhode Island, after attempting suicide twice. So, in essence, what I'm saying is we have to give back more to the veterans. Now, here's the other thing. I commend John, Mr. Burton, Mr. Maizano, and I believe
Nona, who's on the phone,
for taking the incentive, the initiative to do what they're doing. We have to do something. From Montrose, we get patients coming in from the tri-state area, period. If we allow them to do this, we're going to lose. We're going to lose more ways than one. Some of the things that I've brought to Washington, and I've spoken to Nita Lowy, you name the congressperson from the area, I've spoken to them, and I've told them, we need a PTSD unit for women. Today, women are more involved in combat than ever before. Another thing that's there's figures on is sexual trauma. There's sexual harassment now more so in the military due to the fact of the close quarters of not only the men, but also men and women on the combat front. And this is not something that people just come out and talk about. This is something that they'll carry on. I mean, every day you pick up the news and you read about some celebrity who's finally come out and said that they were sexually abused. So, getting back to what I'm saying is, Montrose, yes, there's need. There's need for TBI, traumatic brain injury, there, which goes hand in hand with PTSD. With an enhanced use lease program, from what I'm being told and what I'm hearing, is that it'll still be federal property, therefore it cannot be taxed. That means that the town of which I live in, which is the town of Cortland, I'm also the chairman of the town of Cortland Veterans Committee, we stand to lose infrastructure, school taxes, you name it, it's going to impact us. They're talking about 400, they were talking 400 units. Okay, we are dead against the Montrose Elders Plan, which means that they want to build on it, commercial property, et cetera, et cetera. The beauty of Montrose is that the serenity. We're talking about people that have mental health issues due to combat or things that they may have suffered in the military. It is equivalent if you put commercial property there or businesses or families living there, it is equivalent to me of you putting a McDonald's or a Walmart in the middle of a wildlife sanctuary. You don't do that. The veterans there, as it is now, they go down by the water, they fish. I've seen psychiatrists, doctors, therapists, clinicians, social workers having sessions on the property itself with the patients. So the place itself is a sanctuary. It's, and any veteran that's gone through the program there, they know that it's called Mother Montrose, because many lives have been turned around by the facility itself. I've spoken to Testa about the The other thing that's in the works, from what I understand, John, I've spoken to you about the Veterans Court. Montrose, if the county gets involved, Montrose will be a vital part of the Veterans Court. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nazaro, for taking the time to come today, and we appreciate everything that you said in terms of maintaining this facility.
Mr. Nazaro, thank you very much for coming as representative of the entire town of Cortland veterans community. This is a fight that I and Mike Kaplowitz have raised down through the years, and with George Oros, who was John Testa's predecessor. Jim Maisano and John Nunn have been involved in this only peripherally because they're not representing this area, but it is so important to all of us that we do drive a stake through the heart of this use and abuse of the property. But it's a long struggle, and we don't know whether we're going to be successful. We do know that if we don't fight this now, we will fail. So this is why we're doing this, and I urge all of the members of this committee to support us in this resolution. We bring it to the floor next week, and we have it for being read at the various Memorial Day events in Cortland and throughout the county, if we can, by that time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Mr.
Tesman? I just to add on to Willie's statement that this is, and obviously the other members here, we want to add on to the fact that this is an important voice for us to send, and they're counting on us to do it. And I want to make the one mention that Mr. Nazario requested that we add a senator's name to have this sent to, the senator from Hawaii, I think Inouye is the name?
Daniel Inouye, yes.
Inouye. As the Veterans Committee representative in Congress, so just request that we do that as well. Thank you. Yes, John.
Madam Chair, can I have you heard?
Yes. All right.
With the departure of Vito Pinto from the board, there's only two of us left who are veterans, Jim Misano in the Marines and myself in the Navy. I did not serve in Vietnam, but I served during the Vietnam era and served with people who served in Vietnam. Unlike the Attorney General in Connecticut, I'm not going to say I served in Vietnam when I did, but I served during that era. And I remember what happened when people came back from serving in Vietnam, and I think we shortchanged a lot of those veterans. And only, you know, recently have we understood the issues and problems that can arise with PTSD and related issues. And we don't want to fail the veterans coming back now from Afghanistan and Iraq. And I think the Montrose facility needs to be a regional facility to take care of the veterans who are being served now, but the new veterans that are going to come back. So that's why I think we ought to put all of the force of our legislature behind this and advocate with our congressional representatives and with Washington, D.C. to maintain Montrose as an important veterans facility in our region.
Thank you. Mr. Kaplowitz, representing the government operations?
Yes, thank you. Sir, I have your card. It's almost moth-eaten at this point, but you and I met up a few months ago. You see the Purple Heart there. Thank you very much. Yeah. So if I was calling you for pizza, I'd only know the first three digits. What you spoke about, and I wrote down Veterans Court, you see Veterans, yes, C-O-U-R. Yeah, the T fell off. And thank you for that. We all have wonderful veterans and representatives in our particular district. Pat Mulholland and some others are my conscience on this, and I just want to put on the record to thank them in absentia, but they have educated me to my colleagues, Mr. Testa, Mr. Burton, Mr. Oros previously, Mr. Nona and the like, who directly represent the site, but all of us in the epicenter and beyond the subject we all do represent. It is important to move directly. And I think it needs to be elevated. The previous administration and some previous discussions, Madam Chair, did have a certain image and a vision that was counter to what I've learned and we all know now is not necessarily in the best interest of the veterans. And so it is important, I think, to elevate it to a resolution that this legislature can vote upon and, you know, debate and then vote and memorialize that we both recognize the value of the veterans, recognize the value of the facility, to the veterans and recognize that we need to represent our veterans in the best possible way. Castle Point upstate or New York City down south is not appropriate, and that's not the vision that we want to have for our veterans and the services that they deserve and we must deliver. The second part I do want to mention is we've been in touch with Congressman Hall, his office. This resolution I think is particularly is one that I can support because besides speaking of all those wonderful things and the necessity of the service, it also calls on the right entities, that is the Secretary of Department of Veterans Affairs, recognize our voice, to resolve in the way that we're doing, but also does call upon our congressional delegation, our leadership delegation, so that our voice is echoed and reflected through their leadership, and let all know going forward that it is real critical that the facility at FDR Hospital needs to remain and needs to be improved and needs to be focused on the needs of our veterans. And so I'm very proud to join with colleagues in support of this, what I think is a finely crafted resolution and one that leaves no room for doubt and clearly resolves our goals and our aspirations.
Any other comments? Yes, Mr.
Yeah, one last thing. You know, people tend to forget that at one time in the Hudson Valley, that Montrose was the number one employer. At one point at Montrose, there was 2,100 employees. I mean, I cannot think of a better stimulus package for the Hudson Valley.
Very good
point. And bringing back some of those jobs. And I'm talking from janitors on to x-ray technicians, to doctors, to dental, to prosthetics. All of this is needed. Mm-hmm. And like I said, for the life of me, I cannot understand why if we're number four in the nation in total veterans, why do they continuously come after New York State to downsize our VA hospitals and our military bases?
Madam Chair, would
yes,
it be appropriate to, at this point, amend the resolution, the last resolved on the fourth line at the end after Kirsten Gillibrand, mm-hmm. insert Daniel K. Inouye? Senator Daniel K. Inouye?
Yes.
Before the semicolon?
Yes.
And if that's a friendly amendment to Mr. Testa, who's the author of this, if that's satisfactory to all members, I'd then like to move the resolution.
And I'll second.
All right. So it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
All right. Thank
Great.
You.
Again, thank you so much for coming, Mr.
Willie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A week from tonight, it'll be, a week from yesterday, actually, it'll,
yes,
be,
it'll be on the
to
agenda.
The full board.
Right. Outstanding.
Right, we can move along now. We are now joined by the Committee on Government Operations and the Committees on Legislation, and we're discussing the possible merger of discussing a memorandum.
You can have this committee if you want.
No.
That would be very efficient if we merged. You could have it all in there.
We're discussing a business advisory committee, right?
Yes.
Okay, to call the order.
I will call to order, Madam Chair, if I might,
sure.
Committee. We have one, two, three members to have discussion. Four members, excuse me. Right. We have a quorum and joined by the legislators on your very fair committee. So we are in session. Do you want me to, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Legislator Jenkins, Chair Jenkins had conceived the concept, had come to me as chair of the Committee on Government Operations, Efficiencies, and Savings. And what we have before us is a proposed Business Advisory Committee resolution. We also have, Madam Chair, here our county attorney, Mr. Meehan. And Mr. Meehan was most kind, along with the county, the individuals in the county attorney's office, and provided us a resolution that we have before us that mirrors the some of the committees, particularly Citizens Budget Advisory Committee. Mr. Meehan, perhaps, sir, you might want to join us if you could. That would be great.
Well, Madam Chair, if I might, since this is also called for by the Committee on Legislation, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of an active quorum and call this meeting of the Legislation Committee to order.
And never have three committees met with so few members in all the sessions. I have to say, we are getting really efficient in our efforts. This committee already has changed the way
downsized.
We do business. We have, yes.
Downsized.
We used to all be of two minds.
It's called consolidation.
Consolidation,
yeah.
I'm actually four legislators.
Today you're four. Okay, very good.
We've consolidated, my fellow legislators and I.
So we have two discussions. Mr. Meehan, if you would just comment on, as appropriate, the resolution you have before us, and then, of course, we'll talk about the rationale, the reason, the policy behind it. But we have before you, legislators, the good work product from Mr. Meehan, and then the issue of precisely how we would then stock this committee. But, Mr. Meehan, any comments, thoughts on the work that you would, of course, so ably given us?
We got drafted in accordance with our last discussion, and pretty straightforward as modeled after the committee.
Right. The Citizens Budget Advisory Committee, the CBAC, yep. We're looking then at resolve. It does hereby approve the creation of the Government Operations Business Advisory Committee. It would then provide advice to the Committee on Government Operations Efficient Services itself. Committee established would have up to 13 members selected by the committee, include members from Westchester County Association Business Council to share best practices. The chairperson shall be chosen by the members themselves, no compensation. Term runs through the end of this term. The duties would then, in D is the heart of it, provide advice to the committee, Government Operations Efficiency Savings, on implementing recommendations contained in several New York Commission reports, the Lundin report, the Swazi report, the consolidation report, including but not limited to the New York State Commission on Local Government Efficiency and Competitiveness, and the committee shall also review and evaluate operations of county government.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and
you
try
gone,
your
John?
Call again
we
if
have,
you need help.
We failed to pay our bill, I guess. Committee shall also review and evaluate operations of county government as related to commission reports, any other items related to deemed reasonable by the committee, recommend policy changes. So it allows for really setting out that government efficiency, reduced government spending is the way to go. We did discuss last time, members will recall, the issue of the coordination with CBAC, the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee itself, and what probably would be best is if these two committees would probably early on would want to meet with each other just to carve out and to make sure that you know, there might be some synergy, some positive synergy, but we certainly don't want this group to step on the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee itself. And it's quite clear the two committees are charged with very different things. Budget Committee is charged with both the day-to-day operations as memorialized in the budget, the day-to-day operations as purviewed through as orchestrated by its weekly activities in terms of approvals, and then of course its very intense and diligent review of the budget itself during the last part of the year, where the CBAC kicks in and looks at all the various pieces, special districts, operating, and capital for the budget committee, and then through them, of course, to the entire board of legislators. This is something different. This is a horse of another color, and this is the issues of, on a year-round basis, are there some efficiencies of staffing, efficiencies of operations, but we are cognizant of the fact that there is some coordination between those two. So let's give it a shot. If we double their salary, we would pay the same. If we have the salary, it would also be the same. And you don't know until you ask, and this committee, I think, is as formulated by the chairman as considered by these three good committees, is, in my opinion, worthwhile. And it runs to the end of the session. If, in fact, it serves its purpose so well and we are as efficient as possible, it can go out of business. If it finds itself in a position where it can't be of much help, it'll not be renewed, but more likely it'll be something in between where it'll be an ongoing process of continually coming up with ideas, of which, for example, the next idea that this committee is going to consider is one that they could weigh in on and give us some help on mergers of departments, consolidations, staffing, administrative savings, and the like. I'd open this up, if I might, Madam Chair, to yes, Mr. Chairman, to any of the members that are here, any of the committees to discuss. Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is something that we need to do. We had not, when a number of us around this table stood before the microphones in early December to propose the consolidation of a number of departments in this county during the budget process of last year, we really did not have an infrastructure to give us the kind of guidance, and we were flying maybe not in the dark but in the dusk. at that time to come up with the kinds of savings which we believed, and I still believe, are available if we do this right. Now we're putting into position a system and an institution where we can draw on the best business minds of this county to advise us and to show us how this can be done. And if we don't, we again would be doing it ourselves, and that's probably not the best thing in the world. Legislators are not necessarily the best people in the world to be doing this. We're good at adding things, but not necessarily so good at resizing. So this is great, and I'm really pleased. I really appreciate your enthusiasm and effort, Mr. Chairman, in getting this off the ground.
Thank you. Other members?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would concur. I think this allows us to take the global bird's eye view. You know, so often we on this board and also the administration are so into the day-to-day details and workings of government that we don't have the time to step back. This will allow us to do it. The other thing this will bring, let's make no mistake, when we talk about merger and consolidation, both within the county but also in terms of special districts, things that have been called for in the Lundin and the Swazi report, there are going to be special interests that will be rankled. And this body will allow them to make decisions free from the pressure of politics and the circus that goes with that, and they can make unbiased, quantifiable recommendations based on careful analyses without regard for the political implications, which too often muddle this kind of discussion in elective bodies. So I think it's a great idea. You know, let's get to work on it, and great job.
One question. I too applaud this, the development of this, and you're pushing this forward because I think we could use this. Why do we only say in, because it's the third page, second and third page, the bottom, the committee established 13 members to be selected by the committee, by this committee,
yes.
Your committee. Mm-hmm. Of GOES to include members. Do you mean that this only comes from the County Association and the Business Council, or
no.
I guess I'm a little uncertain about what you want for the actual makeup of
sure.
the committee.
No, that's a great question. As drafted, it's 13 members, and we'll put the call out for anybody and everybody that wants to be on it, but that there shall be members if they're willing to participate. We can't make them do it, but that we want to make sure that the Westchester County Association and Business Council in particular do have at least some membership on this particular committee, given their expertise, given their interest, given their pronouncements on this whole issue of government efficiency. So, for example, you could have 11 members at large and two, one each from the County Association and Business Council. It's designed to be very, very elastic. And it is not exclusive too. So if the wording is somehow implies that it only can come from, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to say it can come from any, these people represent anybody, but it will include at least members from, we should say, I don't know about will, we probably should say,
Will, I think, is fine. What I would just do is add after on the second line,
not
after business council.
Not exclusive.
And others.
Yeah. What would you put, Bill?
After business council in the second line of that
paragraph.
Well,
let's keep on that topic if we could then, because I'm wondering if you want, do you want this committee to be only private sector?
Well,
remembering
sure.
that
mm-hmm.
public sector is different from private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we have been chided from time to time
mm-hmm.
About not taking enough lessons from the private sector, there is a big difference, and we should be mindful of that. And I'm wondering
sure.
if we want a committee that is entirely made up of private sector individuals. Secondly, would we want union participation, labor participation in this?
Mm-hmm. All great thoughts. This is a business advisory committee. It's not to say that it has to be that. That was just a suggestion Ken and I had. So we could broaden it, but in looking for, it's not exclusive. It's not to say that others don't have input and that there aren't channels, both currently and potential future channels, but this is specifically saying we're looking for a business advisory committee that will help us in one particular segment given their viewpoint. If you wanted to create a Committee on Government Operations, Efficiency, and Savings Advisory Committee, right, mm-hmm. and just take out the word business, that'd be appropriate. That's something different than what we formulated here. It's
what
not
do you
to
mean
say,
by business?
Sure. Business is private business. Business is trying to look for the input of those who are not in the business of government, but are in the business of business. And it could be for-profits, it could be not-for-profits. It's pretty expansive. There's no reason, by the way, that we can't, under this, by putting in "and others," the only difference is to share best practices from the private sector. We could even put from the private and public sector if you wanted to. But it really begins to water down the whole concept of business advisory. The County Association, the Business Council, in particular, Judy, were and have been very active, as we all know, of course, along with other entities. And this is an avenue for them to share with us some of their best practices
mm-hmm.
and share with us some of the actions that the business world, the private world, the non-governmental world has engaged in this difficult economic times, during these difficult times. And then if we could share some of their techniques and practices, at least learn about their techniques and practices, then I think that's what we're trying to get to here. So that was the purpose of it. There's no reason it can't be broadened. Citizen Budget Advisory Committee, for example, is broad. That's just mm-hmm. individuals who are citizens.
Mm-hmm.
This was at least the way Ken and I saw it, and the reason it was out there, is literally we want to tap into not exclusive everybody else, but in particular, what's private industry doing? What's the business community doing? Can we learn any lessons from them, good and bad? You know, are there things that they did that we shouldn't be doing, but are there things that they are doing that work well, and can we incorporate them into the committee's recommendations?
And to that point,
yeah.
if I may,
yeah, sure.
whose role, whose job would it be
mm-hmm.
to, rather than have this committee spin wheels,
right.
to alert them? I'm worried, I guess, about a committee that has all sorts of great ideas that would be terrific if we were private sector, but given all of the laws and rules and regulations through which we and by which we govern each and every day,
right.
the fact remains we are not the private sector. And mm-hmm. I would hate to see a group of individuals constantly be hitting their heads against a wall saying, well, try
sure.
this, well, we can't.
Sure.
Try this, well, we
no,
can't.
That's a great point. And there's been some of that frustration, as I understand it, during the last budget go-round. The Westchester County Association had posted a number of accountants and financial people, and I worked with a number of my reporting
mm-hmm.
back to the board at large. And so you're right, and we can't ignore the fact that there is some potential professional or institutional frustration. But by signing up to this committee, I think people know what it is. It's an advisory committee. It does not have the force of law. They can't unless they want to run for legislature themselves. They can't enact law. By definition, they're reporting back to us, and I think your thoughts and on the record are great, because those who then want to serve will need to make quite clear to them that you're an advisory. Just because you say it doesn't make it so. Just because you did it doesn't mean we're going to do it. But within that spirit, come on in and teach us what in fact you did do in the private sector. There could be some things we could learn from that, and understand that in our world, you know, you don't hit 500. You don't necessarily even hit 300. You go career and hit, you know, 1 for 10 or 1 for 100. And that could be your career, and that could be a successful career. And if you're willing to share that institutional frustration that we live in all day long, come on in and join us. So I think you're right to then lower the expectation
yeah.
that just because they have a CEO meeting, make a decision and a vote, it therefore becomes something. That's not the way the government
mm-hmm.
works. So it might actually be, it could be good. They could walk in our shoes and we could walk in theirs. And that expectation, I think, would be very healthy. But the purpose of this is really private sector, and not to say we can't have another group, and it's not to say that all your
no,
ideas...
No, I'm not asking for another group.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, how do you want to put somebody on there who is there? Who would be their counsel?
Well, I think they would take their own counsel. I think they pick their chair, of course. And this committee, by the way, would collect. We would let it be known that we're trying to set this up. We'd reach out to the obvious players. We would also then collect back resumes, like the League of Women Voters. I mean, there are a lot of groups that we would reach out to because they're in the non-governmental sector. But I guess the definition of private sector is probably what we should do, is maybe call it from the non-governmental sector instead of private. You want a board? Because, I mean, the League of Women Voters has a whole program about
I don't know if we want to expand it to that level. Well, you know, they have a whole area of consolidation and recommendations. I guess I'm already getting away from
you're trying to water. You really shouldn't negotiate against yourself. I think
I'm listening to Alicia, and I'm testing what she's saying against.
To that point, you know, we're talking about we're specifically mentioning in this piece the Swazi Commission, the Lundin Commission. So what we're talking about are, in a sense, best practices of government in those reports, but we also want to talk about best practices of business. In fact, your insurance committee that you served on, where did you look primarily? You went to the private sector. But the language in here, in the last says...
But we learned more from the public sector.
But it says, you don't want to not take input from the private sector. But to your point, this says... will utilize best practices. It doesn't specify language best practices, private sector or public sector. Mm-hmm. I think they're using their business acumen to pick both, because if they're going to be looking at
it says share best practices from the private sector.
Well, down in the last line, it just says best practices to promote government efficiency.
Yeah, I'm looking at the top of the page. Look, third line.
All right. Well, I would suggest then just call it best practices up there, too, if you're going to refer to... the Swazi and Lundin Commission reports. Those are talking about best practices of government, but they're being filtered through the lens of the private sector. So if you just take out that phrase private sector, they're still being filtered through that lens, but we're looking at both best practices of public sector.
You would take out the first paragraph then, section A. You would take out the phrase from the private sector. Is that what you're saying? Just leave it to share best practices. Period.
Yeah. If you want them looking at the Swazi report, the Lundin Commission report, those kind of things, I would suggest yes.
So
if that's going to be part of their charge, because those reports deal very clearly with public sector best practices.
Then the only thing we could do up top, and John, I have to apologize, but we'll include members from the private sector, including the Westchester County Association of Business Council and others, to share best practices, period?
Yeah.
In other words, the point of the private sector, and maybe we'll just move that phrase
it's
up.
It's more of a mindset.
Is we're trying to, I mean, this is purposeful. This is going after the private sector. We're, right, it is what it is. And so I don't look at my own thought and my own, and Ken's thought. Does that, Judy, if we did that, we'll include members from the private sector, including Westchester County Association and the Business Council to share best practices, period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. And then best practice down below parallels that. John?
Yes. I totally agree with this approach. I'd be similar as mayor on a much smaller scale, obviously, for a city. But you will get recommendations that to the business person will sound so logical, but almost impossible to implement. But you just, those are the things that you just don't implement. Some things you're just going to say, you know, we'd love to do that, but these are the reasons why we can't. And they might not always understand those reasons. And there's a lot of things that play into decision making of putting into a budget together or an organization together. Mm-hmm. So some of those you have to be ready to hear criticism from some of these members that maybe, you know. Now we know why we're in such a problem, because, you know, we can't make these changes. So you're going to have to realize you're going to have a good and bad, but you're going to have a whole different microscope on the way things are done. My question is, what mechanism do they use? In other words, like, the budget committee has a budget to work from.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to actually work? What are they going to do? Go department by department? Have the staff take them through? I mean... What's their working material?
They would likely start with the reports that are mentioned, that reference.
Okay.
And what we would try to do, as we did with CBAC, is then work with our board staff, Mr. Boland and Olivia and Ray and all, too, and Ann, of course, to tap into their expertise based on questions they have and also input from them, so that you set up this healthy dialogue. Mm-hmm. So it's not a four square book, but it would be all the various things. Also, yeah, I had this actually Bill first, and then I have a question too. Yeah, Bill.
Well, it seems to me that this actually is a two-way educational process. Mm-hmm. It is always unnerving to say to the business community, you don't understand government. You really hate to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even worse when the business sector says, you don't understand the private sector. Mm-hmm. So an educational process, that since we're doing this to benefit county government, that is, say, the public sector, they can learn from us just how crazy we are and how different we are from their sectors. That is a good thing, not a bad thing. Yes, it's frustrating, but more importantly is that the wider we disperse this knowledge about how government really works and can build even some ahead of steam against some of the really bad things that we do here, that we had institutionalized decisions made 50 and 75 years ago that should be changed. Not only structural decisions, but financial commitments that we've made that are perhaps now obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing, to build a constituency for doing these things. Not just the constituency Joe Persica, who was a speechwriter for Nelson Rockefeller, gave a commencement speech yesterday at SUNY, yesterday at SUNY Albany, and he talked about how things were so different so long ago from what they are now today, and how much we need to go after those things and make them change. It is so important that we highlight those things and build a constituency to make the change, make the case for change. So this is why it's so terrific. And I really like the idea of keeping the focus on the players in this thing are predominantly business sector people. I have no hostility to the nonprofit sector, but this is where there's a large reservoir of people who want to help and can even bring resources to the table. And I think that's a good thing. So I think we're in pretty good shape if we leave it as it is with the two changes we've made.
And that discussion was healthy because, Judy, thank you. I mean, it really fleshed out what it is and what it isn't. And it doesn't say that this committee is in the future doesn't sell, but other committee, you know, get a different perspective. But at this point, this seems to be one that it certainly needs to be addressed. The only question I have in the whereas, the resolution, the second, for last whereas such an advisory committee of up to 13 members, this is page one, representative, last sentence, enactment by Senate Bill enable savings to taxpayers estimated at $1 billion statewide. I was looking at that number too. Where did we get that from, Tara? Do you recall? Because that probably came out of one of the commissions, I think, that was estimating certain savings.
Came from the county attorney's office, so they.
Came from one of those reports, I think. First one.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for back on. Thank you.
I would just say estimate enable savings to taxpayers. I would take out the estimate because it could be a lot more, could be a lot less. Who knows? I mean, you know, just if everyone's okay with that, whereas. And just to enable savings to taxpayers. The last whereas
right before resolved.
And I would just take out the words estimated at $1 billion statewide.
Okay, so strike after two taxpayers.
Yeah, just to enable savings to taxpayers, now therefore being resolved. We're looking for savings for taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
May we come up with whatever we come up with. Okay, at that point.
Fair enough.
Okay. With that said, so, Mr. Meehan, we have then the changes. You got the... the whereas, we take that phrase out,
yes.
And then, which is adding private sector, you know, that paragraph A, it'll read then, savings that will include members from the private sector and shall include, members from the Westchester County Association, Business Council, and others to share best practices, period. Down below the date, obviously, it's May 2010. And otherwise, we're ready to go with those amendments, okay?
Okay.
Do I have any further discussion? Seeing none, do I have a motion from Government Operations Efficiencies and Savings? Do I have a second from that committee?
Ms. Meyer, second.
Ms. Williams, second, okay.
Mr. Chair, I would move for legislation.
And I have a second. Ms. Meyer, second. For both committees, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I do not believe we have any other reasons for legislation to be in session at this time.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do.
Calorie labeling.
Excuse me? Thank
There's
you.
An calorie. Issue with yeah. calorie labeling.
Okay, fair enough. We'll do it.
Are you going to have a prolonged discussion?
No, maybe we could just do it while the county attorney's here.
Oh, okay. So we'll just take a 2 minute break on that. Okay.
Is that all right? But stay.
Sorry, I'm going out of the room.
Not a fiesta.
I'm just
going to
revise the resolution myself while we're
doing that. Right, that's what we're talking about. Good.
You don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Thanks.
Do you want me to give a preamble?
Are we now on the last item, the Community
yes.
and Services and Legislation? Yes,
right.
Yes. Madam, sorry, Legislator Myers, if you would.
Yes, thank you. Back in December, I had asked the county attorney's office for an opinion on what would, knowing that the calorie labeling legislation was included in the federal health care legislation that was passed in, that was ultimately passed in March, I had asked for an opinion on what would happen to our existing calorie labeling legislation. And then after the passage of the federal legislation, we did begin to receive, my office began to receive reports of fast food restaurants removing their calorie labeling. And so again, I had a discussion with the Associate County Attorney Marty Gleason about if there could be anything that we could do within Westchester County to keep this, our legislation going until there's an actual implementation of the federal legislation, because we've been told that the federal legislation could, even though it's been passed, the actual implementation of it may not take place for up to 2 years, given all of the work that needs to be done on it. And it seems to me that that's an awful long time to go without the calorie labeling, since we've all grown to love it so much. Speaking personally, of course,
I was gonna say.
Only.
Of course. You're live on that.
But anecdotally, I do hear that many, many people do love it. Therefore, I did ask for some more guidance from our legal team.
Okay. Mr. County Attorney, there are specifics in this memorandum of law that you've made. Could you summarize them, and then it's now, what, 20, is it 3 o'clock over there?
It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Okay. Madam Chair, do we have the room?
Yes, I believe we have the room for the rest of the afternoon.
Cool. Nobody
I
else
to apologize to Dr. Oxball because I have
although I do believe she has a vested interest in this as well.
Yes, she does. Yes, and we're also waiting for Dr. Mitchell to come in.
Then Mr. County Attorney, if you and the Deputy Counsel could step us through this, I'd appreciate it.
Well, the first thing you have in the existing legislation is the reverse preemption clause, which states that as soon as the federal law is adopted, effective.
I can't hear Bob. Can you move the phone closer?
Yeah, we'll move the phone. Sure. I'm moving you.
Okay. First thing we have is the reverse preemption clause, which states that on the enactment of the federal legislation, which is substantially similar to the local law, that the local law no longer will be effective. In addition to that, in the federal legislation itself, it is preemption for certain local laws that are not identical to the local law to the federal law that was adopted and signed by the president in March of this year. Commissioner Dr. Archibald had asked our office whether or not we felt that as a result of the new federal legislation, whether the local county law was still in effect, and we advised that if we didn't believe it was, because of those two reasons, both the language of the federal act itself as well as the internal language of the local law. I think that we've checked with a number of other authorities and jurisdictions, and they seem to concur. I don't think there's anyone that we've...
So you're saying that Westchester County's law is out of business as of the date the president signed the federal law?
Yes, the law is that as soon as the president signed the law, it's enacted.
Yes.
In effect, there are provisions in the federal law which may have to be expanded through regulations, but the provisions of the federal law exist, requiring certain calorie statements on for certain classes of chain restaurants. So
our law is null and void right now.
That's our viewpoint.
However, my understanding is, and I believe you all have in your packet, there is some draft language here from King County in Washington State, who has been impacted in the same way, obviously, with the possibility of enacting some legislation. And I believe that in Marty Gleason's memo, he does say that there are some legislative options available to the Board of Legislature.
Yes, the second
legislators.
And we'll let Marty explain, because he's had contact with many of these other jurisdictions. They're all facing the same problem.
King County had a very detailed calorie posting regulation. It was actually adopted by their Board of Health. What they have done now is drafted a proposed regulation which would, in effect, adopt the federal law as their regulation, virtually verbatim, exactly as the federal law. And they're you know, sort of posturing it as a transition period. But I think the importance of what they're trying to do is they're trying to ensure that they can enforce the federal law on a local level. And I think that's what has to be understood. The federal law does not preempt all local calorie posting legislation or regulation. What it preempts is anything that's not identical to the federal legislation. So that leaves open a lot of room locally to enforce calorie posting laws that are identical to the federal legislation, which means that locally agencies can go to chain restaurants to enforce the law, issue summonses perhaps, much in the same way that it was done under Local Law 13 of 2008, which is the county's law. So King County, and I think that Legislator Myers is in the package is giving out, is a copy of their draft regulation. And if you read the federal regulation as well as King County's, you'll see that they're identical in all respects. So I think that that was their answer to anyone, you know, in a chain restaurant that would say that, well, you can't enforce your law. Well, the answer is if our law is identical, it can be enforced. So that would be a legislative option that remains available to the board.
And in that, if I may, we would need to change. I mean, one thing I pick up is that our law says 15, that you have to have a food establishment that's part of a chain with 15 or more.
Yes.
And the federal law says 20 or more. So that would be one change.
Well, if I may, on that point, we're not restricted, I should say, when I say we have in the county. The county is not restricted in any manner, shape, or form from regulating chain restaurants with 19 or less locations, in any manner, shape, or form. So that if you wanted to adopt the same regulations for 15 or more, that would be fine. There wouldn't be any prohibition on that. Because the federal law, again, only relates to 20 or more chains. I should say chain restaurant with 20 or more locations.
Right.
Ours is 15 or more. And we're not affected. It doesn't. The federal law does not affect our law insofar as it regulates chain restaurants with 15 or more. Now, I don't know how many that is. My guess
is
it's
not that
many.
I don't get what you're saying.
Well,
you mean 15
or
19.
Marty, are you saying we can still regulate down to 15 even though the federal law triggers
further 20? Right. What I'm saying is less than 20 is a local prerogative because the federal government does not regulate in any way under this law less than 20. So that remains a local.
If we wanted to do two, we could.
You could. You could do
not
one.
Not that we are.
You could do one if you want. There's no. Not that I'm
suggesting. National chain of
no.
one.
Right.
My point is with respect to our law, the Local Law 13 of 2008, it regulated chain restaurants with 15 or more locations.
So we could leave that.
We could still
is.
Do that.
Right. Then what would be different? The fact that we include things like legibility, color,
right.
font.
Right. The federal law, as it's drafted, requires that the calorie counts be clear and conspicuous and be closely associated with the menu item. That's it. Our law is much more detailed. It requires that the background be a different color from the
right.
the font of the actual
closing.
Calorie.
Right.
It requires a certain size. So whether or not that constitutes clear and conspicuous is a question that might have to be decided. If we were to give a summons, say, for example, to a chain restaurant that didn't have it as the same font size as the menu item, they might say, well, that's not identical to the federal legislation. And that's what I think King County is trying to do, trying to get away from all of that by saying, okay, we're going to have a law that just mirrors in all respects, it's identical to the federal law, and then no one can complain.
Would you advise us to do that, if I may, through the chair?
Of course, what they might do is when the regulations come out, they may, you know, mirror the same thing we have.
Exactly.
The Secretary of Health is going to come out with regulations that are probably going to deal with things like
legibility.
Display specifications, because right. that's what the law says, right?
Absolutely.
Right, and we did see evidence, if I may, in other areas of establishments that you would put yellow on a yellow background.
Mm-hmm. Or things like that. And this, it seems to me, if the federal government comes out with regulations that differ from ours, ours have to go into conformity with theirs.
Precisely.
So we could be in the never-ending journey here.
Unless we have language that says...
Well, I mean, I think...
We adopt by reference everything that the feds do.
Yeah, right. I think...
The problem is if you enact something that simply mirrors what the federal law says now, clear, legible and conspicuous, or clear and conspicuous, there's going to be an ambiguity as to what that means if you don't... go into more detail.
Oh, I'm not proposing that. I'm saying it's almost the reverse, that if we keep ours in place, which Marty is saying we can, and then the feds come out with their regulations that would differ from ours, we're going to have to incorporate those and drop ours. Is that right?
No, because theirs would supersede ours.
Yeah, one of the things you could do in legislation is actually say something to the effect that the health commissioner can pass regulations which shall be identical to the federal regulations. You have the authority to do that, to grant the health commissioner authority.
Oh, so we would delegate this responsibility rather than keep it in law.
Right. Well, you'd have to have the detail insofar as the clear and conspicuous language and the language that's in the federal law, and then the blanks would be filled in by regulations by the commission.
And would that have to go in the sanitary code, the regulations?
No, I think that they're more in the nature of just regulations that the enforcement authority is putting together.
Let me ask one more question.
Yeah, because we've probably put too many meetings together at this point.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm going one place with it.
Yep.
Before we say maybe or talk about whether we all agree whether we should draft some legislation like that, could you just? I still don't understand why we just can't pass legislation that says our local law stays in effect until the implementation of the federal law.
And I think you could do that, except that then you wouldn't have local enforcement.
Why?
Because to the extent that it's not identical. Mm-hmm. To the extent that our local law would not be identical to the federal law, it's not enforceable as a matter of law.
So we have to adopt their language
right.
then, et cetera.
To the
All
extent
right.
that it can be distinguished in any way.
Right.
Then
I thought I'd give it one last shot.
All
never say die.
Never say die.
I would like to, with the approval of these committees, ask law to draft something then that we could pass.
Mr. Chairman, Nona, is that satisfactory that I will instruct the attorney's office to do that?
Well, I'm concerned that if we pass something that just says clear and conspicuous, what are the standards of what the sign is supposed to be, what's the color?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should take a shot at keeping what we have and seeing if someone claims it's inconsistent, because arguably it's not inconsistent.
You want to wait to be sued?
The National Restaurant Association, aptly named the NRA, is out there looking at all this.
Yeah.
I just think you're going to create confusion if it just says clear. And maybe not. Maybe if they've already got the menu boards up, they're keep the ones they have. They're going to keep the ones they have.
John, this is a very good point.
Yeah, John, I think then let's just postpone any further action until you're in the room and chairing this committee.
No, why can't we get this
legislation
developed?
You don't
yeah.
Me there.
All right, you don't want to. All right, then Marty, let's do this. Let's prepare law.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me.
Okay, let's prepare a draft law that implements your strategy of mirroring the federal legislation, keeping our specifics in there to the maximum extent possible, and. As I understand it, handing off to the Department of Health such things as should go in order to give us the flexibility down through the ensuing process. Have I described that correctly?
Yes, I think I understand. However, when the federal government comes out with regulations, to the extent that our law may be inconsistent,
right.
I think that there would be a...
You may be back here again.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's
thank
satisfactory.
You very
now,
much.
I'm not sure, Melanie. You're taking notes on all this stuff, right? Thank you very much.
Marty, I have one more question.
So,
go ahead, John.
I have another question. We have to we can't just amend our existing law because technically it's already been invalidated, right?
Right. The reverse preemption clause is operative.
It's already kicked in.
Right.
It's already
triggered.
Right.
So
we've got to basically enact something from scratch.
Right. It would be like trying to undo a sunset provision.
Right.
When it's already been sunset.
When it's already sunset.
When it's dawn the next day.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. County Attorney and Mr. Deputy Attorney. Appreciate it. We'll see you in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Marty, you'll be in touch with Melanie about when you'll have this done.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay, back to Legislator Kaplowitz now.
No problem. We have all three committees here to discuss the proposed consolidation of the Departments of Health and Mental Health. What I'd ask is, if you think you belong at the table, come around the table. How else to put it? Anybody that's here that wants to be at the table, let me put it that way. Grab a seat. And literally, I mean, this is both symbolic. Lindsay, come on up, Lindsay.
What?
Who? Grant?
She went together. Mr. Chairman, I think we're now out of the realm of the Committee on Legislation.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, therefore, I'd accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Myers.
Second.
Second by Legislator Harkin. All in favor, say aye.
We do hope you'll stay.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the Committee on Legislation is hereby adjourned.
I'll be back. I have a staff meeting.
Okay, excellent. Boy, I guess anyone else who wants to
call, they will
come. Sounds good. I know.
Come on, Lindsay. Literally, if anyone seriously, because this is I'm doing this as substantively, but also doing this symbolically. I'm trying to set a tone here, which is we got some work to do together, and we're not here. Okay, great. Welcome. You don't get that offer all the time, Lindsay.
We don't.
So, all right. Let's introduce ourselves. We're all Mike Kaplowitz, legislator and chairman of this committee. And
Bill Burton from Austin and Briarcliff, member of the committee.
Alfreda Williams, chairman of the Community Services Committee, and legislator from Greenberg and parts of White Plains.
Judy Myers.
John Testa, legislator from District 1, Peekskill, Cortland, Yorktown.
And I'm Lindsay Farrell. I'm the CEO of Open Door Family Medical Centers, one of three federally qualified health centers in the county.
I'm Doug Aspros. I'm currently the president of the Board of Health of Westchester County.
I'm Cheryl Archibald. I'm the acting health commissioner for the County Health Department.
Greg Mitchell, Commissioner of Community Mental Health, Westchester County.
Susan Wayne, president and CEO of Family Services of Westchester and chair of the Community Services Board of the Department of Community Mental Health.
Excellent. Welcome to all of you for sure. Literally, we're joined by many people who are not here today, but we're cognizant of, and we're gonna try to put this together. Let me just lower expectations first, and kind of make everybody as comfortable as possible. This is obviously an area that people might be afraid of, fraught with potential danger, uncertainties, and all the rest. What we're trying to do on this committee, we were charged as a new committee. The committee has never been before, and where we're going, I'm not sure it'll ever be again, but we are charged with trying to look at some efficiency, some operations, some abilities to really look to the holy grail of government, which is deliver essential services at the most efficient level of cost. It could very well be we're exactly at that level. It could be there's some work to be done to get us to that point. It could be that it is tenable and possible and within the world of what can be done if we can achieve some of these savings, or it could be very problematic and there could be external forces or regulations outside our control or realities that we have to deal with that don't allow us to achieve what we're hoping for. So to some extent, this committee is the click your heels, you're in Kansas committee. We get to dream. We get to look at, from a legislative standpoint, really pursue what if. What are some of the possibilities? And when the previous county executive had given the budget to the Board of Legislators, then Board of Legislators at the time, I guess it was just about November 15th, there was in there very noticeably a funding limitation on commissioners for health and community mental health. And there was some discussion, as he introduced it, of this amorphous consolidation or some bringing together of. There are other governments, New York City, that has moved in one direction. Commissioners and deputy acting commissioners are here today, and other stakeholders to share with us thoughts. But what we're pursuing, and you can give comments on anything you'd like, but what would be really apropos and pointed here is your professional opinions, as you see it, to the possibility of creating some administrative or workflow efficiencies, taxpayer savings, a better way to do things, but without imperiling delivery of service. I don't believe any of you are here to testify to the fact that there are services that you'd like to give up, but that's certainly possible if you feel. More than likely it would be services you'd like to bring on because you're professionals and that's the business you're in, to help people, not to cut back. But to just kind of generate the beginning of the meeting, what I'd like to do is finish up my preface and then just go to the board for a moment. This is not the end meeting. There's no resolution, there's no motion, there's nothing we have before us. This is a start. This is talk to us. We even need to know, and Lindsay Myers was, as our representative of the Board of Health, was very, very, very pointed and correctly so, that we need to make sure that all the stakeholders are in on this discussion. This is very, very important. We don't want to get this one wrong. And this is the first of maybe more to come. This could be that we have the opportunity to use this as a template to look at consolidation or merging unrelated to the health areas, the community mental health areas that you're in, transportation and planning and parks and all the rest. So we're looking to this in two ways. One, substantively, can we bring these two together in a more efficient and a humane way? And at the same time, can we then take it on the road, if you will, and use it as a template? The four combinations that I could think of, and my colleagues suffer with my handwriting, I apologize, I'm a lawyer, son of a doctor, so this is what you get. But the four potential combinations, just to get the discussion going, are up here, and if there are any more, please let me know. This is not chemistry, and these are not, this is not the table of periodic
hydrogen.
Right. Carbon merges with magnesium to create something else. Four would be, number one is a status quo scenario. Number one is the two discrete departments of county government, and they just continue to act exactly as they do now. Number two is a merged department of some sort. I use the word merger, consolidation. I'm using them interchangeably. Mr. Meehan is probably, he could put a legal definition to some. Others can put definitions in different ways, but I'm just using that interchangeable for our discussion today. Some merging, if you will, of the two departments with different divisions. And what would that allow for? Again, I'm just trying to lay out potentialities here. Third would be a merger of some sort with maybe an administrative wing that would be shared between the different divisions. And fourth would be a true and utter merger, one department with everything in one fashion, no different than the transportation department or no different than the health department as it exists. So, and I'm open to the fact that I've missed one or two or five or ten or different permutations as well, but I think from status quo to complete merger, I think this kind of covers the area. The one thing that we did when a number of us staked out in December, late November, that conference that we had and some of the work product, we identified when we looked to the flow charts of all the various departments, 36 some odd, we did see a lot of overlap, administratively speaking. We saw a payroll, a human resources. I saw messengers. We saw bookkeepers. We saw the things that you need to run a department, but they were duplicative, right? There was the wing in every single department. They all were called administrative. So what jumped out at many of us was, well, at the very least, if we could begin to reduce the administrative side of things, can't an accountant deal with two departments previously and make it one now? Can't we have one messenger for two departments, one bookkeeper, one HR, you know, some of those kind of things. So at the very least, I guess was the way we kind of put it, is there some administrative savings. And then if we create it up here, we have two commissioners, commissioner, bless you, an acting commissioner, and we love you all dearly, okay? And this is not pointed at you. I'll even talk to my colleagues over here or whatever. But well, with no spin on the ball, if we created a central leadership, take six school districts and make it one school district, you'd need one superintendent, right? You wouldn't need six superintendents. If you had two deputy commissioners in both and you had one commissioner, and you then, bless you, have two deputy commissioners. He's allergic to this discussion. This is already deleterious to your health. I apologize. Yeah.
Talking about nonverbal communication.
Really?
Can I go now?
You made your point very well.
Would we have the opportunity to create some savings here? Some savings here, and again, how could we do it? So I just wanted to put these up as potential, and I'm going to turn it to colleagues now. I'm done with the preface, if you will, of the opening comments. But I thank you for all coming, and we desperately need to hear from you. What we don't want to do is get it wrong. We do not want to get to a situation where somebody suffers quality-wise, okay, either in the health or the community mental health area, because we got it wrong, and in our quest to try to save $6, we wound up hurting people. That's not what we're trying to do. And this board's never done it, and this board's not going to start doing that. And the county executive as well does not want to do that. The county executive is, Katie is here. Mr. Oros is not. I don't know if he was going to possibly join us.
That's where I just came from.
Okay, so he'll join us at some point. Do you have any opening comments, thoughts? Okay, I'll leave any comments. I've had some offline discussions with him, but I certainly do not want to characterize his or the administration position on that. So I'll leave it up, if it's okay with colleagues, to them to set the tone, okay? So what I'm going to do is briefly ask colleagues if they'd like to say anything at this point, and then kind of really open it up. I want to hear from you.
I actually would feel a great deal more comfortable, Mr. Chairman, if we could open it up right away.
Yes. Yeah.
Your comment is open up right away.
I don't feel that I bring much to the table in an environment of trying to run two departments.
You've now answered it. Let's do it. I'm done talking, and in no particular order, who would like to go first? Doctor? Thank you.
And thank you for...
I'm sorry, what is that?
That's some background.
Tara,
are they off now?
Is that from
John
a previous?
Somebody on the line?
Sounds like it's John Nona in a kindergarten.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's on?
John Nona?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're okay? You're in this meeting? You're okay?
Yes, I'm in the meeting.
Excellent.
I
want to
make sure I hear everything.
Good job. Okay. Dr. Archibald.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to participate in this dialogue, because we really are in the preliminary stages of any kind of discussion of this. And we started to have some dialogue, last week, so this is really in its early stages. As I see it from the standpoint of what we do, programmatically as a health department, most of our focus is with regard to enforcing the sanitary code. As was mentioned with the calorie posting and the sanitary code, which falls into a lot of our environmental health regulations around ensuring safe drinking water, protecting pools and beaches, safe food served in the food service establishments. So a lot of our work is in that area. In addition, another primary core area is our communicable disease division. So investigating any concerns of potential outbreaks. We had the recent concern up in Peekskill with the hepatitis A and the employee who worked at the Dunkin' Donuts up in Peekskill. So those types of responses when there's a concern of a communicable disease and trying to ensure that we don't have an outbreak and we're able to then do any kind of preventive treatment. So we have some core missions that are really public health, but obviously that in and of itself is not an overlap, with mental health per se. One area that we started to look at to see if there would be some overlap was our early intervention unit. Because again, that focuses on children with various developmental delays and trying to ensure that they have the services that they need. And what we found is that our staff and also mental health staff had already started those dialogues probably years ago just to ensure that there was no duplication of services around service coordination so that children were not in multiple programs because, in fact, they didn't actually qualify to be in multiple programs at one time. And it was really a continuum of care. And so we have a lot of collaboration already specifically around the early intervention pre-K aspect in which the focus, again, has been to collaborate with mental health to assure no duplication of services. When we talk about health and mental health, I think that there's that sense of the physical health, such as what Lindsay Farrell through the neighborhood health centers would provide, which is important primary care services. And I don't think that anybody, could argue the importance of looking at health in a holistic way and making sure that you do incorporate mental health screenings along the way with physical health. But from the health department standpoint, you know, we've been moving away from anything that's remotely connected to primary care over the years. So as you probably know, we used to have the pediatric primary care clinics at the county run, and those were phased out because, again, the neighborhood health centers provide that. We had the dental clinic several years ago, again, phased out because the health centers provide that. Family planning, again, you know, phased out. So again, the whole focus, did we lose him?
We lost him.
We lost him.
But you lost them a while ago.
Just hit the receiver part up on the upper left. Right down.
Next to 4.
Paint that thing yellow or something.
I'm trying to. So again, the whole focus around the health department has been moving away from primary care services that can be done by other entities in the community, so that our focus is on the core public health activities that only health department does. And do we have some other aspects, you know, with regard to health? Well, sure. You know, we have a chronic disease prevention program because we know that heart disease is the leading cause of death among Westchester County residents, as it is among New York State residents and across the U.S. So that becomes a public health issue for us more so because we know that that's impacting the overall health of the community. But not the answer. Hello?
Yeah, it's me again. Disconnected, I'm back.
John, you can't call collect, that's why.
So really the focus around at least the health department has been moving away from any kind of primary care services and doing things in a way that county government can do. You know, collaborating with different agencies, bringing different stakeholders to the table, but not from the standpoint of, you know, direct service provision. So when I look at, you know, the different ideas there, obviously, you know, we're at number one, but in some sense that if it were a combination, it would still stay more similar to having two separate divisions because there isn't that integration per se, you know, of the services. The one thing just from the standpoint of the top box, and again, some of it might depend on, I don't know if it's regulated through the charter or so around mental health, but at least from the standpoint of the position of a commissioner of health, you need to have a public health background of some sort, a preventive medicine background of some sort. So just, you know, when we talk about some of the different ideas, and we still need to then vet it through county administration and also, you know, what is, you know, legally and feasible, you know, able to do in addition to the budgetary savings as well.
Right. So from your perspective, do you see it, maybe that's almost two-way, do you see it, because you talked about the collaboration of staff so you don't duplicate services out to the community, but is there duplication of personnel? In other words, have you truly consolidated the services that there's an individual who's now technically in the health department, could they also do the service that's currently being done by community mental health, but they're cross-trained, talented, ability, able, and all the rest? Is there some way to do that? And again, let me say all this with, let's not, it's hard, I apologize, but we're trying not to put faces on people. To the extent, not that we're trying to dehumanize them, but we're trying to, this institution is going to go on long after certainly I'm here and my colleagues and all this will be here. So the people who might be in a position today retire and find other jobs, move on and the like. So with that said, is there an opportunity potentially on the service end, just as you then made sure we don't duplicate services, to make sure that maybe there are some personnel that we have some duplication on? Have you coordinated that level?
Well,
to that level.
Our discussions are literally just started last week, end of last week, so, you know, we're not in that deep yet, but I think that, you know, as you were mentioning in your preface, if you look at any of the county departments, they're going to have some similar type of functions in the administrative realm, you know, so that a lot will have, you know, a personnel, you know, manager, they'll have somebody in charge of their finance, in charge of their, you know, their grants and budget. You know, so there's a lot of that overlap, and you're going to see that among the different other departments.
Sure.
And actually through county government, they're in the process of having us work on a staff survey to really look at that, to look at the different functions that are going on in the different departments to try to have an overall picture of that. Because there are a lot of similar administrative functions, but if you start talking programmatically, then I would say then that's going to be less the case.
So put the administrative aside for the moment. Just go to the program side. You indicated that early intervention is one area in which you've done some historical collaboration. You also indicated just very recently the two departments are starting to talk, which is great. Are there other areas beyond early intervention that there's a natural synergy between the two departments?
No. I mean, not that we've identified now.
Okay.
HIV?
No, I mean, we don't provide direct services around that, you know. So I think that's the issue, is that, you know, a lot of what we're doing is not the direct services. So mental health, and obviously Grant will provide more details, but they're doing one-on-one, you know, mental health services care with individual patients for a continuum.
Right.
You know, from that standpoint.
So you don't see it this time, okay. And then two, again, then within early intervention, or to say it another way, within services, though, that you do provide in one area and community mental health another area, are there individuals who are trained in one area that you could lend to, that you could share with, that another, are you going to be exploring that as an opportunity between the two departments to try to create synergy going forward? Is that something that
The intent is really to look at the full picture. I mean, that would be the full picture, just to see, you know, because I think that programmatic service provision is one piece of it, administrative is another piece of it. You know, so I think that, you know, what our intent is to look at all the different pieces of it, just to, you know, for that same reason, is to find out, you know, are there ways to cross-train? So some of the services, you know, with early intervention, staff are trained to do service coordination. Service coordination is a skill you can do for, you know, various different
actors. Sure. From your perspective, and Dr. Mitchell will go next, of course, but from your perspective, it's middle of May or so. When would you see, from given the workflow that, you know, the tremendous workflow you already have, and given the stakeholders you need to talk to and all the rest, how much time, when do you kind of estimate you'd be able to naturally come to the end of a lot of that analysis and be able to then start making some, you know, making recommendations and things? Is that a month process? Is that a 3-month process? What would you say? Is it longer? What would you say? How much time to kind of do the research that you need to do? And I'm talking about, again, on the programmatic side. The administrative side is probably a little easier to do because we can look at, you know, what do you need and what does the other division need. But what would you say from the programmatic side to look to both potential duplication of service, duplication of personnel, and cross-training?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, based on our looking at it already, you know, programmatically we don't see the overlap. So that wouldn't be the area.
Done. Check that one off. Okay.
Exactly. So that I would say was done, you know, in a conversation we had last week. But I think more the larger picture is really where it, you know, is to look at, you know, administratively, you know, public information officers, you know, the PR person. Obviously, you could be a PR person of various departments. You don't have to only be one person, you know, a fiscal person.
Oh, yeah.
So to kind of wrap it, what would you say? How much time do you need, would you say, just naturally without truncating the process, but to get back to us in terms of recommendations and things like that?
I mean, I would say at least 3 months.
Okay.
You know, just to kind of put out a ballpark figure. But the one thing I would say just to preface that is that, you know, what we have to assess with the voluntary separation package, you know, in which staff are going to be submitting, you know, their documents by the end of this month, we'll know in the beginning of June what staff that we have left.
So
I think that's going to enable us to move the discussion in a different direction because, you know, if for example, you know, mental health lost all their finance staff, I mean, then again, we could say, okay, well, there's a potential opportunity for overlap right there. So I think that some of it is really going to depend on the outcome of that. Okay. And then it's going to move
Excellent.
Along that.
Excellent. I have Lisa Burton, Liz Testa, and Mr. Bass, and maybe legislators at this point. I apologize. We're trying to make this interactive. The quid pro quo to let's just sit at the table is we're all really intrigued by this subject. So, Mr. Burton.
The voluntary separation program is got everybody freaked out. Some in the paper, some at this table, some in the quiet annals of despair of their own offices, I suspect. Are you finding that this perspective event is going to really cause you problems, or are you seeing that it's going to be relatively benign at your upper levels of management, the non-represented management?
Well, I think in some sense it's too early to tell. We're seeing it's a mixture of staff of different in different levels, you know, that are considering it. But then they have until the end of the month to actually.
Well, some agencies have already identified. Some of them, one of them has gone into the newspaper, identifying names. We would prefer that not be done. That seems unfair, but. We have seen a list of all the persons who were eligible, and they've been identified by department. And the the sense that at least I have had is that it has the potential for taking out 10 to 20% of your management structure if they were all to go. Do you have any sense at all as to the degree of likelihood of that scenario, or is it, as you say, just we're just asking too much of you here on the 18th of May?
I think right now it's, you know, again, it's more on the rumor mill standpoint, yeah, as to who, you know, we could say, you know, there could be about 30 people, you know, where we have about 350 or so staff, but it literally is a mixture of people in all different realms.
Well,
know
in 2 weeks, because they have to do it by June 1st, right?
Well, that's what we're, why we're asking.
We'll
know soon enough.
All right.
And then we'll, you know, be able to make more decisions.
But you've been asked, they've been asked to make this decision by June 1, is that right?
Yes.
So it's rushing at you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I mean, maybe for whatever, that maybe one of the earlier times, the only times we've ever had to say, maybe we just need to punt this particular part of the discussion until the 1st of June.
Yeah. Look at it as an opportunity. You might have a chance to combine without.
Oh well, no, that's what they've said. I'm just trying to get an earlier handle on this one. So,
it's timely.
Point.
I guess the best way to say it, this is really timely.
Yeah.
Given.
But maybe just ever so slightly early.
Well, yeah. But we're not signing things today. We're just starting
today. Agreed. Okay. Yes. Cool.
You've talked about duplication of services, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner, and we've talked about it as an internal duplication, but have you looked at duplication of services that the county may provide with other entities within communities? For example, health centers sometimes have some of similar services that the county may have. Have you looked at where the county may be overkill in certain areas?
I'll use that phrase.
With health.
Wow.
Excessive.
I mean, that's been basically the trend over the past 7 years,
right,
is trying to look at that and trying to then remove the county health department, per se, from being the direct provider of certain services that could be done, you know, by other agencies. And we definitely work collaboratively, you know, with the health centers, with a lot of the different activities. But the majority of the activities that the health department does are mandated.
Okay.
So they're mandated services that need to be done by the health department. And so that's the reason why we've been trying to move away from anything that's more primary care, because that should be done by the medical community.
Well, representing Peekskill, which has an office within the city, I'm getting calls on a daily basis, emails of people concerned about, especially the mental health department, and some services being removed from the city or combined. So these are the kind of things that I need to find out about as soon as possible, so I can get real information rather than, you know, dealing with what is being spread through fear and through, you know, people surmising what may happen rather than what will happen. So these are the kind of things that I'm sure other legislators are getting it as well. So that's why I would like to see as much information out as soon as possible, Mr. Chair.
Good. Well said. Steve, you're the commissioner of thought.
Thank you. In regard to other departments that you asked about, Chairman Jenkins wanted me to ask you, he thinks that there could be some services within DSS that may be similar or can be looked at along with services from the Department of Mental Health. Not so much the Department of Health, but maybe some of the Department of Mental Health. That was, I think, his understanding. He thought maybe that would be something the committee would be interested in taking a look at.
Which is interesting. It's an adjunct to any one of those where you bring in some other area. We, for example, discussed, as legislators will recall, the whole issue of Section 8, that the planning department was engaged in that, and there was discussion of moving that to DSS.
Mm-hmm. And my committee will be looking at the issue of housing in general,
right,
as it scatters over many departments, which, of course, always winds up being and a problem. So this is another one of these things.
Right.
But I'm just curious whether Commissioner Mitchell has had any discussions with DSS.
Well, we'll hold that thought.
He hasn't had.
Because I just want to introduce a perfect chance to introduce the George Orris to this conversation as a chief of staff and representative of the executive branch.
of the administration. George, welcome for joining us. Of course, Wendy, if you would please join us at the table. And your thoughts on, and before you'd come down, I just shared with just some simple schematics, and there could be another any number of combinations, but you know, potentiality.
This is an option's choice.
And now we know how you make
it. How did you choose? Yes. And that this is the beginning of a conversation, not the end, by any means. I mean, we're really just trying to, and what we'd also ask you to do, by the way, is in your comments either now or later, is who are some of the other, I'm going to use the word, just I guess it's become a cliche, but who are the other stakeholders, other people that you would think that we would want to invite in to have this discussion, to get their comments and their thoughts. We really don't want to leave anybody out. At the end of the day, people might not like the decisions we make, but we certainly, A, want to hear what they have to say, and B, they need to weigh in, and this is the chance to do that. So, George, thoughts, comments?
Two things. One is we are looking at, we're looking at all of the county departments, and very clearly what the commissioner said about waiting to see what actually occurs after June 1st. And even after June 1st, you know, people are able to put in their papers and take them back until June 30th. So even though somebody may go forward with the paperwork to preserve their right, they can change their mind between now. So we really won't know till the end of June what the actual number of people that, take the incentive package and leave.
End of June.
Yeah, I mean, technically, they have to, they can't act after June 1st, but you can retract between June 1st and June 30th.
Ah.
So to preserve your rights, somebody may put it in today, and they may go back and talk to their family or look at their financial situation, and in the middle of June decide, or maybe spend 2 weekends home with their spouse and say, I'm going to stay at work. You never know. It could be lots of reasons. And then they will, decide they're going to stay. So we really won't
massive
have
massive workforce coming back.
George, I apologize.
Can I say that for the record? Yes.
Yeah. Sure. No. Can I interrupt you for just a moment? Because Bill has, Legislative Burton needs to leave, wants to leave. And I just, for the committee, I just have 3 sets of minutes. I just want to, while we have a quorum, be able to just discuss very briefly. It's May 3rd, March 30, and March 16 meeting minutes.
It says 8 sets of minutes.
Eight sets.
Can
I
take them home?
I only see 3. Okay.
Because community services.
Yes. All you need is 52 more, and you'll have an hour.
We have
a lot. Yeah. And community services has 1 set of minutes too.
Can we wait?
Well, I only see 3 here, Tara. I don't even see the others. Should I move? Could I move all of them?
But have you read them?
No, but for the amendments, as the later went forward. At least we get them off the table.
They're two-sided.
I'd rather read them.
Okay.
Yeah, they're two-sided. Wow.
I see May 3rd, March 30th,
can we just take
March
23rd,
March 16th.
Maybe at the end of the meeting?
Which
you have to leave. Can we do these the next meeting?
Chairman's call.
Something
photocopies it. Right. So it's 4 sets. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Some of them I can't vote on.
I don't even have
bills.
Okay. We'll wait till we.
What about the community services meeting?
Yes.
We're going to have to wait till we.
The community services committee has 1 set.
All right. We have a motion. We can always make them.
Thank you.
Community services.
We just passed the community services.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Government operations. I have a motion. We can always amend as the chairman wants to get these things posted.
Good thing our new committee isn't here to watch us. So one that we didn't put together.
Business advisory.
We have May 3rd, March 30, March 23, March 16, March 1.
Yeah, I respectfully ask if we could read
February 17, February 2nd.
I would respectfully ask if we could read them first.
I have no problem doing that. We'll wait till we'll get them done next time, Tara.
Thank you.
Well, then you can, if you could speak to the chairman.
I will speak to the chairman.
Great.
I will speak to the chairman.
It's too much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, George, back to your.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So, anyway, again, obviously we are looking at all departments. And we are going to have to do a real reassessment. But again, even though June 1st is the date folks can put their paperwork in, they do have the option of pulling it back between then and June 30th. So really won't be until July 1st that we have a real firm number.
Right.
I would imagine most people that put paperwork in are going to
you know, go ahead and go forward.
Potentially,
with separation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of, George, the piece that was just mentioned, John correctly talked about extra county, you know, outside and some coordination. Some of that's a little hard because we don't necessarily know all the rest of the world, but we have to remain open to that. But certainly department to department, as Steve represented, you know, the chairman's comments and thoughts, DSS or some of the other areas that are here. Is the administration reviewing? Is that how do we know that we don't leave anything on the table there in terms of trying to go through? Have you charged each of the commissioners?
Yes,
we
had a commissioners meeting, it was a week ago, Tuesday. We are going to accelerate the budget process this year for lots of reasons.
Okay.
One, it's going to be a difficult budget. Two, the county executive has pledged he's not going to give it out on November 15th. He wants to give it out sooner to give the legislature more time. So the process is really beginning as of June. But again, unfortunately, we're kind of at the mercy of this separation thing, because unless our numbers change, the likelihood is layoffs. But again, when we look at the number of separations, we may not have layoffs, or the number may not be significant. And all the commissioners have been asked to work together, not in silos. In other words, when Commissioner Archibald is putting together her budget, she will be interfacing with Commissioner Mann and with Commissioner Mitchell and all of them to make sure that if there are things like that, we're also looking at, you know, something quite frankly that you have brought up over the years, and so have I, departments having their own public information officers, having their own accountants and all of that. That is all on the table. Just reviewing that to seeing if there's a way to centralize some of those operations. And we're just looking to see if it makes sense first. If it's going to, you know, if it's obviously not going to be cheaper or more efficient, then,
right,
you know, we're not going to do it. So all of that's on the table. And this discussion is fine. And as you know, County Executive announced he already has the Emergency Services and Public Safety Commissioners have both been meeting, just like these two commissioners, trying to look for some synergy there. And we are looking at Planning Department and its function vis-a-vis with DPW and DEF.
Mm-hmm.
The notion of doing away with the Transportation Department actually is not something that we think is off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the airport as a self-operating entity. And, you know, there have been some discussions with Liberty Lines about some different ways of operating the bus line. So it is possible, you know, particularly in view of the fact that the commissioner is going to be taking the early separation. I don't know if you guys don't know that.
No.
Maybe you didn't announce
this,
it. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say it.
Too late now.
Yeah, I know. Commissioner Sally has indicated that he's going to. So, you know, with that.
It's an opportunity. Absolutely.
It is. It is an opportunity to bring them back. We were wondering if any of the legislators were going to take this. We thought that might be a good opportunity for us.
We were thinking about the county executive.
So, he just got here.
He doesn't have enough time.
He won't even get $1,000.
He can take it.
No, he was here 2 years.
Oh, all right.
Oh, does that carry over?
George,
no.
George, timing.
Wouldn't that be great? I could take 14.
Yeah. Timing. What's your sense? I mean, obviously November 15th is budget timing. Do you expect to be, is the administration hopeful that you'll be able to make some of these recommendations in advance to either impact the old 10 budget? Or
I don't think
these things.
I think realistically, to impact anything in 010, it's just not going to happen. I think one thing we don't want to do, and this administration has been very careful, not rushing into things that you know we find later on we have to recreate because we made a mistake. So I think it's going to be more of a methodical process where we've taken little steps along the way. And again, you know, one thing builds on the other. The early separation builds on one thing. When we see what Albany's doing, there may be some programs that Albany is going to discontinue, and the only thing we've asked our colleagues up there is if they are going to stop funding a program, then they better stop mandating that program. So that may put us in a position where there are programs we are doing today that we don't have to do. So there's a lot of things in flux,
mm-hmm.
and I would think that as the summer unfolds, by the time we get to September, October, we'll have a better handle. I will tell you this, we intend to engage the legislature in the process, you know, as we're going forward, just like this discussion here. You know, I suggested to you, bring them in, because they have started their dialogue. Because obviously, particularly if it's anything that's going to require a charter change or any kind of local law or something, we're going to need your support. So we'd much rather work in partnership with you rather than presenting you with something and then having you guys say, you know, this is a non-starter, or, you know, let's try to get something that we can agree on and put it out. So I don't know. I can't answer you, Mike, specifically as to a point in time. I think some of this will just evolve over time, but we'll keep you in the loop.
Okay. I would just kind of underscore on behalf of all the legislators that it would be, if in fact there are certain recommendations, to look to time before the budget submission,
right,
to give us the chance to make the changes to then let us, during the budget season, which is busy enough anyway, deal with the numbers. But if we have to deal with both the numbers in a new world and the legislation required to recreate,
right,
that new world, then we're looking at an awful heavy lift in a real short period of time where it's already busy enough,
yeah,
anyway.
But I do think a lot of it is going to be budget-driven in terms of, because we're not going to,
right,
recommend a consolidation of a department if in the end it costs the same amount,
no,
of money.
No, I understand, but if there's some home rule resolution,
yes,
required to get legislation from,
yeah,
Albany,
yes,
if there's,
well,
some
that,
waivers, you know,
right,
for example, the old days, we used to have to get to have one commissioner in corrections,
correct,
and probation, you needed the state,
correct,
various entities to,
right,
sign off on it. You know, it's in everybody's interest not to wait till the budget submission on,
correct,
around November 15th,
right,
to start that process. If we could start that much sooner, but it takes both pieces. It takes the enabling legislation slash any charter changes as well as the numbers and the budget. Just give us as much time as you could in that area, and that would be that.
We will,
be
because
there.
It's in the best interest of everybody.
Yeah,
to get it. It makes sense to do it at
right,
either right before budget, because obviously whatever you do is going to impact,
right,
the budget.
And in all fairness, right, and George, in all fairness, the resolution that this board did approve, it also comports with that, which is we, in supporting, for example, the sick pay reduction as well as the voluntary separation, did pass a resolution indicating we really want to see a hiring freeze. We don't want to simply have, you know, some people go out the left door and new people coming in the right door.
Right.
So by definition, once you find out, as you indicated, you'll know by July 1st who actually is leaving and who's staying. That provides the one-time opportunity, which we'll never have again, to possibly create these efficiencies for efficiency's sake without having faces on,
right,
you know, real people,
that's
with
correct,
mortgages that, and all on there.
That was the whole point of all of the whole package.
So if there's some way to be even more aggressive, I guess I'm urging you to be as aggressive as possible, look to all 36 departments and find as many synergies as possible in all the areas. I mean, one could even argue that you create one administrative wing for a multitude of departments. Again, an accountant can handle many numbers at any one time. There's no additional unit. I mean, I know there's some additional time to review papers and all, but certainly with technology, you can deal with lots of units and lots of departments, and an HR, an administrative wing, an accounting, a bookkeeping. You know, if in fact some people are retiring, maybe we create. And I don't think the CBAC had recommended, and colleagues might remember, I think it was either 6 or 9 kind of super committees. Remember, they were Bill Kay and those guys were,
yeah,
really looking, and George, when you were here as legislator, they were looking at a real crunch down. You know, I was too aggressive at 19 for them. I mean, they really wanted, too conservative, they really wanted to merge a lot of these. I don't want to imply or have you infer that just because I'm talking about just these two departments that we're not open as a legislature to,
yeah,
really dreaming big.
Well,
in a lot of these.
It may be something, though, Mike, that will unfold over a 2-year period. In other words,
mm-hmm,
this might be a first step to something you're speaking about there. I don't know that, I don't think that, while I'm not saying we're not looking at everything, I don't know that something like that can take shape, again, because we're waiting to see this downsizing with how many folks leave and then going into it. And you do have a county executive, you know, there is a learning curve here, you know, for the first,
mm-hmm,
year in office, getting a feel for what all the departments do and when having a full understanding. So I would say that's definitely something on the table, but I would say it may be something that comes as a two-phase project where we may do some things this year that affect the 2011 operating year, and then in the middle of 2011 take it to the next step so that in 2012 you effectuate.
Yes. Very good. Legislative March, of course.
Going back to the DOH-DCMH merger, I wondered if we might want to, or if the commissioners have any knowledge about New York City, given that they do have a merged DOH and Department of Mental Hygiene. And if we, A, might want to get some people in from there to talk about their experiences with it, and just so we can learn rather than reinventing the wheel. Or if you have, either of you have heard any anecdotal.
Well, I was actually at the City Health Department around the time that they were talking about the merger of the two departments, and I know that one of the reasons that was thought about was that there was some degree of shared services. So that, you know, when they're providing, as, you know, Lindsay was mentioning something about HIV services, they're actually providing clinical care for individuals living with HIV. Those are some of the same clients that were also receiving services through the mental health department. Mm-hmm. So they actually did have some of the same clients that were receiving services from different departments. You know, when we mentioned about the early intervention before, that was an issue as well, that they benefited from the merging because mental health had EI, and they were able to submit some state aid reimbursement for some of the EI, but they were missing out on some others that only a health department could submit.
Interesting. And so do we have that same problem with EI?
Well, we don't because it's in the health department.
It's all in the health department. Right,
so we don't have that issue. So there were certain things along that level of, you know, being able to get reimbursement and really having some overlap of serving the same clients through different departments. And so that's why when I started the discussion here and I mentioned about services, mm-hmm. and we don't provide that level of services. You know, our clinical operations are, you know, tuberculosis care for individuals infected with TB, STD, you know, which is people who don't have to even give their real name, and they come in for free services, mm-hmm. and we have to provide, you know, as mandated by the state. So again, we don't have that level of mm-hmm. continuity, relationship type care that would happen in, let's say, a primary care center like the health centers or through mental health.
But to that point, if mm-hmm. staff could, and not only if you work with Tara, to reach out, try to mm-hmm. Reach out directly to the New York City departments, department singular. Mm-hmm. Tara was saying if you and Melanie could reach out to New York City that has merged. When did they merge the two departments?
10 years ago. Actually, I did speak to them over the last few months. And there are definitely some people who would be happy to, I think, provide information. You know, it was interesting in sort of two sentences. They basically said nearly everyone was against it, and they did it anyway. And I think that that's probably what you'll hear here.
Yeah.
You ask stakeholders on both sides, there was always concern that, you know, mental health folks worry if there's a combination, mental health will be forgotten. Health folks say, you know, are worried, well, you know, depending on who's running it and what their interest or focus is in, maybe public health will be, you know, and particularly in tough budget times where you run the risk of having cuts, there's always a concern that whoever's, you know, whatever the priorities are of the current commissioner, there's always a risk that something will be, you know, the thing won't be treated fairly. So she had indicated to me that there was in fact concern, but they went ahead and did it anyway, and at this point she, you know, kind of said, depends on who you ask. There are people who believe it's been somewhat successful, and there are people who think it's been a failure. So it's you're not, I mean, we won't get a single answer, but right. I do think it's worth
it. Could we find out if it saved any money?
Absolutely. Right.
That's what I'd like to know. I mean, yeah.
I think that's those are the things.
Doctor, could you just give us a few people we could reach out to?
Absolutely.
If you'd be so kind to do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. At this point, Dr. Mitchell, if you would share with us your thoughts in the,
sure.
on the subject.
You know, you, George, you mentioned opportunity. I mean, 2 years ago, we did a major restructuring of our department. We cut about $1 million out of our budget. And it was for similar reasons. We had had a number of people who coincidentally were in the process of retiring. And we looked at that as an opportunity. That's how, you know, I'm looking at this situation, even though we anticipate losing some folks who are valuable and have been with the organization for, you know, 20, 30 years. It seems like the right time. So we're definitely looking at, you know, what the impact's going to be. But, you know, as Cheryl said, we don't know exactly who they're going to be because people have not really put their papers in at this point. You know, my sense of it is Cheryl and I have begun to, you know, kind of look at in some detail where there might be some opportunities for us to work together. You know, one thing that is it's clear, I saw it in the paper today, and I think that somewhat accurately captured my sense of it, and that is that certainly we need to work closely together. Whether or not it has, what the structure of that, you know, needs, should take is obviously, I don't think anybody knows yet, and we're talking about that. But I guess one thing I would add is I have a broader view, you know, 20 years in public health, I have kind of a broader view. I think it's the wrong question to kind of ask, what services do they provide? What services do we provide? There's no overlap, therefore we shouldn't do anything. I just think that's the wrong question. Because I think public health is beyond what you do and what we do. Public health, you know, in a broader perspective, we deliver very few direct services. Most of our services, for example, community mental health, are not delivered by us. They're delivered by partners like Family Service of Westchester, and most of it is done through contractual arrangements with not-for-profit providers. So, in a sense, we don't do a lot of direct service either, but I still see us as kind of partners and as responsible for looking at the whole system. It's not because we don't provide the service, we say, well, it's not really in our realm. I think we really look at it as, you know, we work very closely. We have, through our board, which is similar to the Board of Health, we have a sort of the Board of Mental Health, but we work obviously very closely with all of those contract agencies. So I think from a broader perspective, I think we look at sort of public health as being much more than that. And I think that's the perspective we took with our care coordination program, which was, it may not even be a dollar saved in my department, but to the taxpayer, whether it's from the jail or it's DSS, I think it was a good point in terms of looking at some DSS issues, or it's mental health or it's health, it's the same dollar. So I think while there may not be this sort of idea of a super merger, that may be sort of unwieldy in a county this big with departments that are, you know, as big as DSS, et cetera. But I do think we need to look at health as it's health. It's not mental health and physical health and environmental health and genetics, and it's health. And I think part of that stigma, that whole separation, not only sort of reinforces stigma, but I also think it's counterproductive in terms of the way we look at people and sending people to kind of different systems. So we certainly are committed to sitting down, as we've begun to do, to try to say, all right, what have we done in the past, which is great, but what could we do kind of going forward to kind of try to take the concepts around care coordination and apply it to a broader population. We've got 48 people, that's great, but we have 1 million people that live in the county. Could we look at applying the concepts of coordination of care, trying to offer services in an integrated way, as a way to save dollars throughout the system? And it may be somewhat difficult to predict because it isn't about 2.7 FTEs. As you know, it's about, you know, $5 on the probation side and $10 on the DSS side and $50 in the shelter system. And so I guess I would urge that we continue those conversations looking at that broader public health. We did, you know, there are a couple of things, for example, that are fall in that administrative category that, you know, we've been talking about. For example, we both bill. We have a billing service. They have a billing service. We both departments bill Medicaid. So I have this whole sort of structure for billing, and you have a structure for billing. Just a quick example of an administrative kind of thing that might make sense, and we're talking about, you know, saying maybe we don't need 20 billers. Maybe we could do it with, you know, fewer. In fact, you know, related to that, last year the board had voted for some funding for new software for the both departments. And one of the things we're looking at as a way to potentially save some money would be, can we find a single software system that would work for both departments? Just as a simple way, you know, that we might be able to work more closely together, save some money. And if we had a single system, maybe a single billing department might make sense. So I'm just giving you just a couple of concrete examples on the kind of that administrative side where certainly I think it makes sense for us to look further at, you know, right, at working together.
The one thing we will urge you to do, and you both have engaged in, your professionals and your departments are as well, is courage. You know, don't let us worry about the politics and you know, we got real big, broad shoulders. We could take concerns and rightful concerns of employees, invested special interests, and the like. But certainly, we would urge you to continue to think broadly, and think professionally as you do, and come up with as many options, even if in the end it's not necessarily, bless you, tenable politically, or, you know, it's cracking too many eggs and it makes it problematic. You know, this is a chance to do it. Really, is between the new administration, county executive, between the economic crisis, which has woken a lot of people up and really changed the way you know, business is being done at the public and the private sector, between the necessity of and the steps this board took in conjunction with the county executive to create the voluntary separations and the incentives and the like. This might be it. I mean, we might not be able to really make these reorganizational changes for quite some time if we don't do it now. So it's an opportunity that certainly is crying out for it. And thank you for your work, both of you. And Dr. Mitchell, thank you for the care coordination program. This board did participate and added double the resources. Is there an opportunity to give us a quick snapshot? We had invested, it was $176,000 for about a $532,000 savings.
Is less than $1.2 million in savings.
$1.2 million. It's like that debt clock in Times Square. It just keeps spinning and spinning. This is unbelievable.
We're up to $1.2 million.
$1.2 million.
For investment.
And for about $176,000, am I right on the math?
That's correct.
Okay, and is it still a 48-person, 1-to-12 ratio?
That's correct.
Are you going to be expanding that? Do you have any opportunity budgetarily-wise?
We're looking at that now. At expansion.
Can we get, this is kind of like Lee, you know, you get next week's show, do we get a chance to know what's coming?
The only thing that's on the drawing board right now, I mean, not specifically, I can't tell you specifically what our funding looks like, but what we are in the process of doing is discussing the merger that I talked to you about last year with the six other counties who are doing kind of a similar thing. We are in the process of kind of working through that kind of consolidation.
Like a regional approach.
Right, which would allow us to leverage the resources of seven counties to advance the project. Because that's the kind of thing that is beyond the county. It's really, you know, I told you, it makes sense, I think, to do in every community. So we're working through that, that possibility of bringing together our county with the six others.
Great, and if you need some help from above, maybe some of us can be of help to you in the future.
You.
In various capacities. Dr. Aspros, do you want to join this conversation from
sure.
a board health perspective?
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sure. And thank you both very much. Thank you.
It's difficult to represent the board specifically here because there's no specific recommendation to be looked at. But I think there are a couple of things that ought to be looked at closely when you think about combining these two particular departments. I think the idea of combining a lot of administrative functions under one agency, however many agencies that is, makes sense and probably I'm no expert on government management and how that works. But in some ways, you could have had the same discussion with the Commissioner of Transportation sitting here in terms of the amount of overlap of programs between health and mental health. Because we have a lot of overlap, we have a big budgetary overlap with transportation in the SCD program, but not a lot beyond that, and not a lot, I think, with mental health. What core public health does these days is provide almost no clinical services. I mean, that's provided elsewhere. And although you can look at health as being one health, as being environmental health, mental health, public health, individual health, I mean, all of those things could be combined under one umbrella. In the best of all possible worlds, we would do that. But we're not set up to do that. And I'm not sure that this is the venue to make that happen. Under the sanitary code, and there are a lot of both state and charter provisions for how the sanitary code is formulated and who has responsibility to enforce it. There are a lot of environmental issues that we take care of that are core public health issues, but they're not quite health issues in the way people normally think about that. A big part of what we do as a department is to deal with the petroleum and petroleum bulk storage issues. It's a big public health issue because it's groundwater contamination, but it's not typical public health activities. But it is what public health does. And it's not health activities, it's public health activities. So,
and that's mandated, right?
Almost everything we do these days is mandated. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I started on the board, we did a lot of extracurricular things. We don't do those anymore because there's no money to do those things. And so we really pare down to what's really required under the sanitary code, what's required under the state code, or what we've taken on because we have concerns about how somebody else is going to enforce it. It's one of the reasons we've taken over petroleum storage issues, because the state wasn't really doing the job. And so we took it over because we have concerns about it's our groundwater, it's our drinking water if you live in the northern part of the county. So we do it because nobody else does it. But again, they're core public health issues, but they're not necessarily mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And the other things we do are the things that nobody else does. When we're talking about communicable diseases, when we're talking about surveillance, those aren't the things that the people who provide clinical services do. They don't do that because there's nobody to provide those services to. There's also nobody to build them for. And those are the things that public health does. So I think the concerns for us is it's not clear to us what the synergies are other than the administrative ones. And those may be, you know, just as easily wrapped up with almost any other single or group departments.
Right. Good. Thank you. Ms. Wayne?
Yes.
Just kind of go back and forth and look the order. So.
Actually, I have to agree, which is unusual, with just about everything I've heard here today, largely because the Department of Health in this particular community does not provide primary care services. In theory, primary care services and mental health services should be integrated. And I think it's the best way to practice. It's the best for the community. It's the best way to save money. And it's, you know, treating an individual as a whole. But because our Department of Health does not provide those primary services, a merger wouldn't really make sense to the extent where you're sharing services other than from an administrative perspective. And I do believe there that that's really something that... you know, Grant mentioned that they're talking about software systems. We're looking at software systems that we can share with others, too. And I think that that's a way that makes total sense, overlap of any administrative responsibility, because that'll also, again, force communication. I do believe that they are governing bodies for us. That's another thing. We collaborate, but, you know, DCMH and DOH are governing bodies. So there is that collaboration. There is that ongoing communication, but we're the providers of direct service. It'd make more sense almost for me to merge with Open Door in many respects, and we do partner and collaborate quite a bit because they're providing primary care and we're providing the mental health services. So I think that, but again, it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to look at everything. And I think that even talking about the transportation issues, those are issues, and those do impact everyone who we serve. So
right. It's
a good opportunity to look at
them. Ms. Wayne, you kind of touched upon, let me just throw it out there, the sense, I think, Dr. Mitchell, I think you brought it up a little more directly, which is if you merge, are you going to be therefore somehow minimizing one or the other service delivery end? If you bring it into one department, are you minimizing the community mental health currently does? Are you somehow diminishing its value? If you bring them together, are you somehow diminishing the work that the Department of Health does and somehow minimizing because it's no longer on a standalone type basis? But I think you've given us some of the language that allows us to bring the best to it, which is it's the whole person. And therefore, you're all health professionals, and the person has many facets. And just because you're treating the knee doesn't mean the thigh is any less valuable,
right,
or the shoulder, which you need also. And so it you gave us some language that is the positive, which is we're not diminishing. We're actually trying to make it, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, if we can. And we'll need to, as legislators, be cognizant of that because we don't want to diminish. We're not here to diminish the work that's being done. We're not here to say that health is more important than community mental health any more than as a parent. We're here to say we favor one child over the other. I mean, they all come with strengths and weaknesses, and they're equal in totality, though they do different things. So we just have to be cognizant of that. We got a little bit of that pushback when we were talking about that maybe the planning department could merge with parks, we're talking about transportation, right? We're doing different places, emergency services and public safety. Not your world, but the world we lived in, we were getting a lot of pushback, which is, you know, you're somehow diminishing us. You know, we're, that's not fair, we're just as important as. So we'll deal with that. That's not so much for you to be concerned about, but I think you've given us some real positive language, which is it's the holistic view, it's the whole person view, and all. Okay, Ms. Farrell. Thoughts, comments? Thank you, Ms. Wayne, for your thoughts.
You know, an administrative consolidation is essentially the low-hanging fruit. And because it's low-hanging fruit, I think you need to pick it. I think we have an obligation to the community to deliver services in a very cost-effective manner. And if we're top-heavy on the administrative side, I think that's indeed irresponsible. So I think that's sort of a no-brainer. I think that if you look at healthcare in general, I think in the United States of America, we realize it's like way too expensive. And so as you look at what public officials have done and didn't do successfully in healthcare reform, they've taken a public health approach to realigning the business of medicine and of healthcare. And in fact, they looked at high-need groups of patients. They looked at patients with chronic illnesses who are overburdening the system, patients with cardiovascular disease who wind up in the hospital needing lots and lots of services, patients with diabetes who wind up needing amputations, patients with asthma who wind up in the emergency room time and time again. And so as an industry, we took a look and we said, well, what can we do to make it better so that ultimately it isn't costing us all as much? Bottom line, care coordination, that's the message. Now, the industry is kicking and screaming because it's forcing real changes. And in private practice, you'll hear physicians, you know, screaming about all this, you know, new accountability that's coming down from the health insurers, right? You don't hear too many providers who love health insurers because health insurers either don't pay or they sort of force a lot of accountability. And so what the industry is looking for is efficacy. They want to know that the treatments are indeed appropriate and ultimately delivering positive health outcomes in the public health sense. So if indeed we're going to be more effective in how we deliver services, you have to integrate services. People with cardiovascular disease, people with diabetes very often have accompanying depression. They're depressed, which is why they're sick. And we see that time and time again. That's the most common diagnosis we have, one of the most common diagnoses we have in our organization. And I can run the reports that tell you this. Depression, untreated depression. And so I think for that reason alone that the left hand has to talk to the right hand. Otherwise, you're just not doing a very good job. It means people have to think really, really creatively. Obviously, in our work, housing is another factor. If people are living in inadequate housing, they're subject to asthma. If they don't have access to good food, they're going to get diabetes. So it's all very, very interconnected. And I think for that reason, we have an obligation to sort of step back and think more creatively about how we're delivering services. I think the administrative piece is a given and should be done without question. But I think Westchester's a great place with lots of smart people, and I think we should take the opportunity to figure it out. In our own organization, we do deliver mental health services because there was no mental health service provider in Assening, so we kind of had to do it by default because we had all of these patients with needs. And it's very, very hard to get folks to sort of sit down and look at the big picture together because the training's different, the therapies are different. But once you do, and once your focus is on what do we need to do to get results, you can get people thinking a bit more creatively and perhaps more willing to kind of change their methods. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity, and I think that although difficult, it's one I think we're up to the task, and right, and we should move forward with it.
Also, be neat to overlay. Thank you, Lindsay. Overlay the world after July 1. In other words, how many employees? Just do the two departments, if I could. Dr. Archibald, on Department of Health, is how many employees, full-time equivalents?
About 350.
And budget, total of annual budget?
For the tax levy budget, is about 77.
That's, when you say tax levy, so that would
other
be...
Other than grant.
Forgetting the grants, but everything on
right,
everything on budget, if you will. Okay. And what's your grant?
Yeah, that includes, yeah.
Which is a big piece of it. That's
right.
Huge.
It's a huge piece
right
of it.
Includes
yeah
what?
SCD, Services for Children with Special Needs.
Mm-hmm.
Services of Children with Disabilities. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I keep doing it.
I'm using the old, it was old one before.
Yeah, CSN is what we call it now.
Yeah, CSN, yeah. Services of Children, yeah, okay.
Yeah, with special needs.
Special needs, right.
Right.
About 77 million. And then Dr. Mitchell?
We have about 150. Operating budget's 18 million, and with grants, it's 70 million.
All right, and a big piece of the grants are?
State aid. Right.
Right.
HUD.
So what we need to see is after July 1, whether there's a demonstrable and meaningful reduction in either or both, and whether there's an opportunity to even cross-train, or since it's not clinical, it's not all administrative, clearly, but it's not clinical. What is it? If it's not clinical, and is everybody fall under an administrative class category?
It's a mix. It's a mix. We a third of our staff are doing clinical work now, although like the health department, we are not sure where that's going. So a third right now are clinical.
Okay.
Two-thirds are, are either administrative or are part of our grants.
Okay.
So it's a combination of administration, oversight of the system. All the grant money that comes in, we have to administer all $50 million worth of funds have to be, distributed, administered. We have to look at programs, people who want to expand, things
right.
like that.
And Dr. Archibald, what would you say? There's no clinical at this point, right? Very little.
It's different. It's a different type of clinical. So we have staff that might be involved in following up on individuals who have tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
We need to monitor and make sure that they take their medication. So they're doing some of that as field work. So we have public health nurses that are out there monitoring field work. It's in addition to then staffing our tuberculosis clinic, in addition to staffing our STD clinic. And so there's kind of some of the same people are wearing different hats, basically. We could say that we have maybe upwards of maybe 50 type of staff, that are doing some degree of clinical type.
Mm-hmm.
But it's public health nursing is different from hospital-based or
mm-hmm.
clinic nursing,
sure.
And we have other staff that are health investigators, community health workers, that are doing different things maybe related, to our clinical operations. But the other parts of it are the environmental health staff. Those are the sanitarians doing all the the inspections, out in the community. Our early intervention staff, that are monitor the reimbursement and the service coordination around the children's special needs. Our other staff that are involved in more of the data and oversight around surveillance issues, so that's tracking disease trends and following up. So it's administrative, but then they're specialists, if you will, for
right.
certain areas.
So it would be too difficult if we were trying to say to create broad categories of clinical, field work, administrative, those seem to be the three categories. Am I missing a category? I apologize.
Regulatory. Regulatory.
That's different than administrative?
Yeah, because administrative
okay.
could cover more
okay.
Division heads, budget, finance.
Sure. So is that fair to say the four categories in regulatory, administrative, field work, and clinical? And is field work and clinical different, or are they similar?
Some of the field work is
regulatory.
Yeah,
some of it
is
the same staff doing the
yes.
same function, so that's why
yeah.
you can't separate it as
yeah.
One FTE
yeah.
doing this and one FTE.
Right.
I mean, if anything, our department runs at a pretty lean budget where a lot
mm-hmm.
of people wear
yeah.
multiple hats.
There are a lot of people who wear different hats.
Sure.
Right.
Right. Right.
So it's not as clean.
Right. And look, let's be
yeah.
fair. I mean, the holy grail is that you can get even more of these individuals in this case, if it's the two departments, of the 400 discrete people, right? Because the 150 and the 350 are two separate discrete
mm-hmm.
bodies. There's no
right.
merge there.
Right.
To have, especially if in the world where 10, 12, 15, I'm just making up a number, people will retire, natural attrition and or incented attrition, is there an opportunity because of the holistic view of health? I mean, it just makes more sense to merge you then with the airport. Okay, it's. I mean, people are always taking off and coming.
He's just flying in.
Not necessarily.
I mean, really, they have the same word in them, and I think that's really appealing.
Port or air?
No, health.
Oh.
I was wondering the same thing.
It just is really appealing to think that they're the same thing.
Right.
It's like the. What's going on in Washington over the past year, had almost nothing to do with public health, the way we practice public health in the United States. It's really about clinical health for people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's not what public health does. Certainly in this county, it's not what we do. We did do this stuff 20 years ago. We
right.
don't do it now.
Right. But doctor, to that point, if we just took Dr. Mitchell's one-third, two-thirds, roughly, right, and we took off the third clinical, so 50 people are clinical, separate and apart skill set than the health world, right? The mental health world is, I'll just concede that point. But there's still 100 people potentially on the administrative side. Is that correct, doctor?
Contracting and billing
exactly. On that side. Could those 100 people also do some of, is there similar work that's being done in the health department separate from the clinical / field work that's specialized and trained? So carve those two pieces out, create, it's kind of like, again, number three, where you have those that are in the division of health, do health, those that are in the division of community mental health, do that piece, but the rest are in the middle, and once you've then put, and Lindsay talked at the low-hanging fruit, exactly, once you've then put a certain number in the A category, can we now begin to service the needs of both clinicians or near-clinical work on the two sides, and as people come and go, create a downsizing, cost savings. We need more computers, that's easy to do. We need more software, let's buy it together. But you can then have two people doing the work what had been four people and six people. I mean, that's what private industry is doing, that's what government's trying to do. I mean, it's a natural. That's the point, Doc. I mean, I think we've gotten it that there's work the health department does that community mental health can't do, that airport can't do, that nobody else can. But that low-hanging fruit, it might be a really big watermelon that's hanging. And it's like barely holding on, and we just got to grab a hold of it and pull it down, and we now have a delicious fruit that we can then engage in. I'm trying to end this. I'm going to come and see you. I think I need some help. Yeah, in this combined department.
More in terms of
okay.
Do,
all right.
I mean, CSN is one of those places where. You know, you could.
Yeah, children with special needs is one of the only overlap.
And that's big, too.
And that's a big thing. That's big, big piece.
So you'll be talking to commissioners, we'll be talking to acting commissioners, we'll be talking about that.
Right, we already did start to talk about
good.
That, and that was the area that I mentioned that we've already started
okay.
collaboration.
So two things. From your point of view, if you could let us know some of the other people that we should be talking to. We tried to get the word out, we're having this discussion, and the newspaper was helpful today in letting people know, but the fact that we haven't reached out does not mean we don't want to talk to them. It's the opposite. We want to talk to everybody. So if in your travels, in your professional world, if you refer people to us that really want to have a say, we want to hear from them. Okay. Second is timeline. You know, we're here in May. The administration, through George, did indicate that they are going to be sending us stuff before November 15th to any preparatory work so we can get that stuff done so that then the numbers can match up to it. I think what I'd like to do, Tara, is maybe in a month from now, let's have our next meeting on this subject. Just kind of wait. We're then looking end of June. Maybe you'll have a better sense of who's, right, who's leaving. By that point, I would think somebody, as they close in on July, would have a pretty good, you know, would really be serious. Even if they put papers in on May, on June 1, they might rescind it, but by the end of June, you'd think that they would be pretty serious about it. So if we could we match up in maybe 30, 45 days, come back and have part two? Tara, let's as you did a great job in getting us here, but let's aggressively reach out to. Part of the problem is we're not sure even who to reach out to. I mean, you know,
yeah.
In all fairness, I mean, we're trying.
Well, we'll send you. I mean, we can definitely send
all right, send us some lists. Between the five of you,
State
I think
folks,
we'll get some links. So we'll see if you can mention everything to Tara and Melanie from your committee standpoint as well. Okay, good. Doctor?
You have to keep in mind that a lot of our stakeholders are people that we enforce and regulate.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily...
Right.
Enthusiastic about
right.
Yet,
see, I think the stakeholders are the people who serve. They're
right.
The whole
because the community
people are
the community cares about that.
Yes.
But the people who are by and large show up at hearings are the few people who are going to be regulated.
Right.
The community doesn't show up and tell us how terrifically we're doing on septic issues.
Yeah,
right.
The building.
The pool,
is that
pool
really
inspectees.
What you, is that what you want
don't.
For this type of conversation?
No, well, we're...
Because I don't know how that's going to help.
No, because that's a whole
so
other
end. So
we
start talking about, you know, the constituents.
Yeah.
Right? their constituents look a whole lot different from that.
Well, in both your cases, though, just give them, give us, as you sit down and go through the various names and the organizations,
let people.
Right, right. No, but the reason, I mean, the reason why the health department doesn't provide those services anymore was they didn't qualify for managed care contracts. I mean, the way the services, right, the way the services were configured, like, you weren't going to get paid by Medicaid and others. And so that's, and now other health departments across the United States deliver the FQH services and bring in all the grants that are coming into our organization.
FQH.
Federally qualified health centers. So there are many counties across the country where it's the health department that actually runs the federally qualified health centers. So in Westchester, we were just kind of here.
Right.
No, and the spin-off of the neighborhood health centers happened was to allow you to have access to money that
you didn't have access
as a county.
You could have had it. You
right.
But
had it.
We were having a hard time getting it, and we felt that the community health centers had access to other funds.
I'll just leave you with a little anecdote. I was sitting in about third chair down, smaller table and smaller chairs, but I still remember when we spun off, the health department came to us and said, we want to get out of the dental clinical world. It was I'm remembering the number 5. I think there were a total of 5 individuals, 1 or 2 dentists and 3 hygienists, assistants. And how much pushback we got with a world of 5 and 6. And to them it was very important, and I get it, and not minimizing any individual. But it when you deal with 500, right, individuals directly between the two departments, and you're dealing with everyone who's touched from the health department and the community mental health department, we are anticipating, that's why we're trying to be preemptive and reach out to everybody, that at some level there will be some pushback when people realize that they wake up tomorrow and it's a different world. Doctor?
Just if I may, very quickly, is I think that the more of the pushback you might get is from the mental health side, because from our end, as Dr. Hospice was mentioning, our services are mandated, and we have to provide them. A health department has to provide them regardless, so they're not going away, the services that we have to do. So we have to do the restaurant inspections, the PBS, and so on and so forth. So that's not going to go away, no matter how many people might come in. So we don't have the same constituent client base that would then have a reaction to that, unless the reaction was, by merging, your fines go away. You know, something like that. So we don't have the same type of...
Well, but what if we kept the 100 administrative people on community mental health and took away all the administrative people from the health department? Mm-hmm. I think we'd get some pushback at that point.
Well, you wouldn't get it from stakeholders,
from
per se.
From the people who are being
employed. Exactly.
So it's more of employees that might lose their job. Type
right.
Thing.
Well,
so
I was pretty broad about pushback. I understand. And those, and in fairness, those who have their pools inspected, who need to open up by, you know, June 1st or June 30th of each year, and suddenly the health department has had a bit of a shake-up and the person can't get out there as quick. I mean, we've gotten calls through the years, you know, get our pool inspected.
Right.
If you're
exactly.
a camp and you need it inspected, you need it inspected. So
right.
There are a lot of... The point is you're both critical departments, and the reason we have your services is because people want them and need them, and it's mandated as well. So we're not denying any of that. We're just looking for, as Lindsay said, the low-hanging fruit, however big or small that is, and then the holy grail is the synergy, where some of the people with attrition can perhaps even do, if possible, some services in both areas, because they're already out in the field, and therefore, I don't know if that's available. I mean, you're the experts, you have to tell us. We cannot venture into that area. That's where we can really hurt things and mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with all that said, we'll try to hook back up in 30, 45 days. Get us names of people or organizations, if you would be so kind, that we can reach out to, just to let everybody know this is occurring. Good luck to all of you in your continuing discussions relative to how you professionally believe there can be some overlap. To the administration in trying to prepare the budget, certainly they're going to be looking for administrative savings because it's in their interest to do so as well. And we have now officially rung the bell and said, let's start this process. Okay, so if there's no other comment from the legislators, your thoughts at this point, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, Legislator Testa, move Legislator Myers. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Thank you. Good meeting.
He's not on the committee, I'll say.
Thank you.
Good meeting. Good steering us.
It's a nice start. It's a start. Let's see where we can. There's no question. You're saving administratively, and with people retiring, you're not going to have to fire that. You're not going to have to lay off that HR person.
Probably want to. I would think. I would suggest we open this up to. I still believe there's a room for playing around with consumer protection and Department of Health. Because they are both regulating, they're both licensing, they're both, and that may be a closer fit, especially for some of the administrative work,
right,
than between.
Tara, can you do me a favor? To Judy's point, when next time, next meeting we have, if you can get that stake in the ground, some, you know, we put out there in December, just as a talking point, and let's review that flow chart, because that lifts all the departments. There were suggestions. Again, it could be they're wrong, but at least if we could have that for next time, Tara, so we can all look at and see if we can move around and maybe push administration in a little more aggressively in some of those other areas. I mean, again, the natural one was emergency services and public safety. I mean, just have a police wing and a fire / emergency service wing. That's natural.